Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up all that men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. Like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked out right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred's here, Paul's here, Andy's coming. Eric is still in his Las Vegas adventure, so he'll be back Thursday, and we'll get all...
Roaming the desert looking for strippers.
All the stories from Eric and Doc's in the booth. And by the way, that opening was sent...
Good stuff.
It was sent in to us by Mike in L.A., who points out that he's no relation to John in L.A.
And I like that, too. That's good stuff.
He says, in a recent episode of Family Guy inspired me to put together an intro for the show. I hope you enjoy it. We did. I've been listening to the show for almost 10 years now, so I figured it was time to contribute. Fred, Andy, Paul, and Doc, you're all great. As for Eric, I hated you when you joined, then liked you, now I hate you again. If Eric responds...
Why the change?
I don't know, but he says, P.S., if Eric responds like a pussy, leave it at that. If he responds like a man, tell him he's actually all right. Well, we'll have to mention... Anyway, so thanks, Mike in L.A. That was a nice open.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well thought out and appropriate.
Thank you. Pretty much nailed us all.
Appropriate. Little business to take care of.
We have business?
Last Thursday.
You have business.
Well.
All of a sudden, I can't talk. I was going to make fun of you for your your earliest ever burp in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I guess we crossed the line.
First of all, what's this wee stuff?
I did.
All right.
You definitely did.
Two of our emailers, two pointed out
that crossing the line.
Shouldn't be using the Bible as a joke, making fun of the Bible. So apologize for that.
I'm okay with it, Fred.
You know,
he's such a moron.
But, I guess there's certain lines you don't cross with certain people, and if they're offended, they have a right to be. I'm not going to say that.
I wouldn't apologize to them because they're not listening anymore, so it's
We did lose a subscriber.
Yeah, one of them was...
Not just a listener, but a subscriber.
One of them is so upset that I haven't found the Lord that have canceled the subscription. The other one...
Even though he referred to our Savior as A-R-E, Savior.
Right.
Paul was editing his email.
Well, editing. I mean, that's not editing.
Yeah.
That's just flat out incorrect.
The other one, the other person is more understanding. Just said you probably
Which
don't
I thought to, is what a good Christian would do, is be understanding.
Well, that would be my question would be, isn't that sort of what God and religion is about, is being more tolerant?
Right.
But evidently...
Which is how we are.
Evidently, you guys crossed the line.
Well, I thought the funny part was, I've been crossing the line forever, but once Fred crossed it, that was the last straw, and the guy got rid of his subscription.
Well, the funniest thing to me in regards to that specific show was we kind of talked, for tangents, as far as tangents go, we talked extensively that day about wet dreams. And somehow comparing the Bible to Star Wars is what put people over the edge.
Now, would it have been okay if Avatar was compared to the Bible, or is it certain?
No, I think it's the Bible. That, you know, anything to the Bible, Andy. Just for future reference, it's anything. It's not what the thing is.
So I should add the Bible to the list Bible. With Hitler, yes. The Holocaust?
Yes.
Supposedly
things that probably don't want to get
that was my grandmother's Holocaust ring. They gave out rings at the Holocaust?
Especially comparing the Bible to Star Wars. You don't want to do that.
Right.
Doc, are you...
So we apologize a thousand times.
How about
times
if I compare
that?
The Bible to, say, South Park?
Are you technically okay in there?
No, he's not.
I'm getting a lot of emails. People
fixed it.
You fixed it.
I doubt it.
All right. What was the problem? Do we know?
Operator error.
Operator error.
Should we reiterate our apology?
Should we say, what the is going on in there?
I hate it when people, when they apologize because they offended people, to say, if people were offended, I apologize. I'm not going to say that. I just apologize. Okay.
But the guy's not listening.
No, but, you know.
False
no,
or double strength.
No, but
that could have been very bad.
No, have you ever heard that? People, you yes. know, if people were offended, I really do apologize.
Well, it means I'm not really apologizing.
Right. Right. You know, right.
I actually, for one of the very rare times, Freddie, I agree with you 100%. Right. Everybody does it that way.
Right.
And I agree with what Andy said. It's not really apologizing.
Right.
No. And how Andy would say it when he wasn't really apologizing.
I mean, I could understand you saying, I didn't mean to offend right. anyone, but not if I offended anyone, right. I'm sorry.
And if I didn't, I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry?
Right. Yeah.
So well, it means I'm really not sorry. It's just somebody, my boss, made me say I'm sorry.
But I was thinking
you're
of,
the boss.
I was
well,
thinking
really.
Of starting a separate show just to talk about religion.
You well, can, no, you the can irony out of be, that one, my friend.
Why don't we start a separate show about religion and we'll just talk about the Patriots the whole time?
You know how Andy
can
and
Eric
I
everybody
get
that?
The email. Can we stick to religion?
Can we
please?
Stick yeah. to religion here? I'm sick of Brady.
That's
Andy,
good.
Andy and I draw the line no at nothing when it comes to extra, you know, media opportunities. We do all the radio,
right.
all the TV. We, anything you want us to do, we'll do it.
I'll talk religion.
I'm drawing the line at the religious show. I'm not doing a religion
I watched
show.
A half hour of the Ten Commandments. I feel educated
can
enough.
Can you imagine how much hatred I could generate worldwide if we were talking about religion?
Not as much as I could, I bet.
Oh, my God.
Not as much as he could, because he already did.
Oh, my God.
All right, can we talk football?
Well, yeah.
Because I'm hot off the interview
If anyone
circuit.
Did have the audio problems, they're fixed now. And if you missed the opening monologue, you probably just want to download the show and hear that.
So, again, we just apologize for that right. biblical reference last week.
Right.
I didn't.
Tyrone McKenzie spoke today.
You
Andy.
Didn't say it. I did, so I'm the one.
Right. Yeah. I was included just, because you just, reeled me in.
He just agreed with us.
You reeled me in. Andy, and I know you agree with me. That's not fair.
I never said that.
The wording might be slightly different, but that's what you did.
You said something along those lines.
You brought your prior
defense,
knowledge
was
of
all,
my thoughts.
Andy couldn't wait to jump on the bandwagon.
Well, I can't lie. I'm going to answer
the
question
statement,
honestly.
I made the statement, and Andy said, I agree.
No.
I never said.
Get the audio. Re-rack it.
No,
he's shaking his head in there.
Let's not get the audio.
I never asked for your input. You volunteered.
You're a lion, Sacka.
Go ahead. Let's play it.
Let's re-rack the part where we offended people.
I thought it
people.
Was so funny because you couldn't wait to say, I agree.
Your fault. Anyway, okay. Tyrone McKenzie.
Yeah.
Can we talk about him?
You just talked to him.
As I predicted,
yeah.
because we know he's a great guy from his previous experiences here on PFW in Progress, boom, was scheduled for 11:30. 11:30 hits. Tyrone McKenzie is available to the media. None of this, oh, I got a meeting, I got to eat first, all these other players like to pull. As he said, what else do I have to do? I was told to be here at 11:30. Good guy. Knee is perfectly healthy. No setbacks along the way. Will not wear a brace.
Wow.
Is ready to go 100%. Treated last year as if he were playing the entire time. Went to all the meetings. Did everything like a player. Except, you know, people want to ask. He wasn't here on game days like Brady wasn't. You know, you don't really get invited. But
right.
he stayed in New England the whole time and is ready to go. I would say if you want to pull any negative from the interview, he's really setting himself up because, as Paul and I discussed off the air, he's a guy that's never stepped on, never mind a game field, he's never stepped on a contact training camp practice field, and yet people have high hopes for him. A third-round pick, people think he's not only in the mix at inside linebacker, could start, could help the defense. Well, I would put at least one member into that category as well, and that's Tyrone McKenzie because he's high on him. Tyrone McKenzie.
Yeah, I'm very
he's big enough to
him.
Take on guards, stronger than the offensive linemen, fast enough to run with running backs, has the size, the height, the speed, has put on 8 pounds over the last year of pure muscle and strength. Very high on himself. That's what I would leave the interview saying. He is
he
ready to prove
himself.
Himself
in the third person.
No.
Oh, good.
But he said a number of times, I'm big, strong, fast. I'm as big as the offensive lineman. I'm as fast as the running backs. He's raring to go. I forgot how he termed it. Something about when he's bringing the heat, talking about his hitting. I enjoyed every minute. I'm a big Tyrone McKenzie fan, having never seen him really do anything.
Well, we all are, because right when he got drafted, he came on the show with us, and we were very impressed with him. First of all,
the story.
Tremendous story.
Right.
But just, I think that maturity that he shows in that story is what draws me to the guy, and I've sort of liked him because of that ever since. And I'm high on him as well. I did want to point out, and this is something that you just alluded to, Andy, and we talked about it upstairs, is, you know, he and Brandon Tate were both third-round picks. And I think a lot of Patriots fans have sort of lumped them together. Oh, those were the third-round injured guys. Well, Brandon Tate was a third-round pick because he was injured. Tyrone McKenzie wasn't a third-round pick because he was injured. He was a third-round pick because that's where he was drafted, and he subsequently was injured here in rookie minicamp. There's a little bit of a difference there, because I think Brandon Tate probably would have been drafted a little bit earlier had he not had that torn ACL. So there's a little bit, I think, I want to just put the brakes on a little bit in terms of the expectations. I am very encouraged by McKenzie. I think he's going to be part of that rotation at inside linebacker, but I don't want to get lost here. They didn't draft Ray Lewis, you know, with a first-round pick.
He was the guy that McKenzie brought up when asked who he kind of patterned his game after and liked to watch. Big fan of Florida linebackers in general, state of, not university of, and Ray Lewis was the guy he said he's always really liked to watch.
Yeah, I'm just
watch.
A little... a little cautious when the expectations seem to be.
Well, I don't
really
know why you should be, because McKenzie's not. He's ready to go, and
that,
he's ready
I don't
to fuel
want
the
him
hype.
I don't want him to be cautious. I want him to be like that. I want him to have that edge and
I
think
tell
he's
you,
better.
I think, assuming two of the three can play in McKenzie and Spikes, they have a great core of inside linebackers.
I was going to say, starting linebackers could end up being Spikes and McKenzie.
I just... Wow.
I'm just, I mean.
What's more offensive, taking shots at your defensive captain and number 10 overall pick, or?
Wasn't he the guy last week that said, why would there be an issue if Mayo wasn't the captain? Now he wants to take his starting job away.
You know, obviously he's not going to be a captain if he's just a backup now.
Well, you never
what
know.
Are you doing?
You never know.
The bottom line is, we've talked about it ad nauseum, which we do a lot of things, but the 3-for-2 on the outside and the inside.
Right.
On paper, the 3-for-2 looks good with these three guys.
Inside.
Yeah.
Inside.
Still not sure where the 3-for-2 comes from outside, but inside, I think we
have
an idea.
Well, you have a million bodies
for
the
two. Just don't know if there's any that are good enough.
Yeah.
So. And Derek Burgess is one of those bodies, as we incorrectly speculated. Why bring him back? Bill brought him back. He likes him. What do you want me to tell you?
It's one of those things we were incorrectly speculating. We were incorrect on that, but I don't think it's. I think it surprises no one. He was available. Clearly, there was no interest in him. No one else wanted him. Because you could have had him for nothing, you know, for the last
including
3 months.
No interest from PFW in progress.
So,
Don't count me in on that.
Because you're more cerebral than us. You like what he brings to the table.
I think he was serviceable. He's not the pass rushing guy we thought he might be when they brought him in, but I think he's serviceable.
Is Rob Ninkovich.
Well, no, I was going to say he's at least if not better than Rob Ninkovich or Pierre Woods.
It's better than Pierre Woods.
You know.
Rob Ninkovich. He's better than Pierre Woods.
I have a big mouthful, but Rob Ninkovich theoretically is going up. Burgess is not going up.
In this system, he could be. He's not going up compared to the 16 sack season he had a few years ago.
I'm just comparing Ninkovich versus Burgess. From the point they were at, whatever, a year ago, who do you think has a better chance of being better this August?
Burgess. Year in the system.
Well, since I think that Ninkovich was better than Burgess last year, I'm going to go with Ninkovich.
But I'm not even going.
Anyway.
I'm going with growth. To me, Ninkovich is a developed. I know we joke about the Vrabel comparison, but he's that early on guy, hybrid, versatile, athletic.
Right.
You know, he's more of a theory than a finished product at this point. But you have some hope. Maybe the finished product is under there somewhere. Burgess, to me, clearly has peaked. I mean, there's no doubt he has peaked.
I wanted to throw in
27 sacks over 2 years. But I'm just saying. I guess the whole year two in the system theory seems to be prevalent on the internet. Fred is kind of subscribing to it. I just didn't see it. I know he had 3 sacks in the last 4 weeks and all that. I don't care.
I think serviceable is a good word. Fred used the word serviceable. I think that's a good word. I think he's a serviceable guy. I don't think he's the answer. But
my point is he's getting older.
I think
he's going to become less serviceable by the year.
I think chances are that he's not going to be as good this year as he was last year.
And on this
based
defense,
on his age.
And on this defense full of playmakers, all you might need is a serviceable outside line.
But I do think that the chances are that he is not as good this year as he was last year. because of his age. And you want to make fun of me, Andy, because I talk. That's funny because I'm fat.
I watched The Hangover the other night. Great movie.
But I always talk about, you know, the jump, you know, for the young guys. And I say it's not just the year two jumps, you know, three and four, whatever. Well, what are we going to have, a year 12 jump for Derek Burgess?
I mean, well, for him, it's the year two jump in the system.
But he's in his 30s. He is what he is.
No.
Serviceable.
Gerard Warren, it's the fourth team jump. Damian Lewis, it's the whatever you want to call it jump. You believe everybody has a great jump every year.
No, I don't.
It's amazing.
You know what I do know that you don't? The name of the long snapper, Jake Ingram, not Jake Long, idiot.
Is that what you said?
No. Fred, this is my best ever. I did a blog entry, which lit up the blog. People are very excited about the starting lineup. I just projected the starting lineup. And I put the long snapper. And for some, you can appreciate this. For some reason in my mind, Jake Long is our long snapper.
Right.
So I not only put that, I put colon, and then my comment was, only his name makes him a long shot for the long snapping job.
Oh, man.
Job.
I made
a joke about the guy's name, and it's not his name.
Oh, man.
That's because he thinks of the joke before he actually thinks about what he's going to say.
Right.
And then I kept the joke. I just said, I thought his name was Jake Long, and if it were, that would be the only reason. I mean, amazing.
All right.
Idiocy.
I also thought about you over the weekend, Andy.
I thought about you. When the Bruins went up 3-0 and then lost.
Were you thinking about Andy during any time where you were walking around your house with no pants on? Because that's really going to make me nervous.
No, I was actually sitting on the toilet when I was. Anyway.
Even better.
That's what I'm best known for.
Yeah. And the reason
was. Today for me already.
There was a story out there where Welker says he actually did not hurt his MCL when he hurt his ACL.
You misread that. That's not what he
said.
And
I was wondering if that's possible.
He did.
That's not the story.
He did not have surgery to repair the MCL. He tore the MCL, but he allowed it to heal naturally,
as everyone does.
Which is what Brady, except for Tom Brady and his dial-a-doctor out in L.A.
In my defense, I am just going by the flash on EEI, where they said, in fact, he
You know what? I'm going to fully defend Fred here now because I know how you can get duped by those guys that don't know how to read, much like what I was talking about today on EEI.
Okay. Yeah, so that makes sense.
I'll get to something later.
He did tear it, but he didn't have to have it surgically.
Just like everybody. I mean,
that's the normal course of action.
You can't hurt your ACL without hurting your MCL. Right?
I don't believe I've ever said that officially.
I think you have.
But it's my working theory. Yeah. I think it's very difficult. I think it'd be a really rare case to tear your ACL and not have some damage.
But he just wanted to I don't even know why it was so important to him that he wanted to make that clarification, but he did not have the MCL repaired. Brady did, which is rare. The normal course of action is to wait, 4 to 6 weeks, allow the MCL
swelling
to
heal goes down,
on its,
the
on
MCL
its own,
begins healing, and then they do the
and
ACL.
And then they do the ACL.
I don't know the
Brady
percentage,
Brady didn't want to do that. He didn't want to wait. And
it's got to be.
Found a doctor that wouldn't
do it. Dr. Kildare out there.
That's what I said. You dial a doctor up through the yellow pages, and that's what you end up with, staph infection.
Oh, God.
It's so funny, though, because I was thinking, when I saw the headline, I was thinking, why are we talking about this? I mean, that's like saying...
I thought he was saying
a car drives on the road. Well, yeah, that's where cars drive.
Yeah, I didn't get that myself.
You know,
but for some reason, Wes must have felt it was important to say it.
I hope all the rookies are listening to the show.
They are in town, by the way.
I just want to say something about their health. You are in Boston. You play in Boston. The best healthcare.
But your point is
some
there.
Of the best healthcare in the country, in the world, is right on your doorstep. Forget about the paranoia you might have, the team not having your best interest. Doctors take an ethical Hippocratic oath. They're going to do what's in the best interest of you. Don't look any further than Boston if you have any healthcare issues.
Are you talking to the rookies or
anyone
your franchise quarterback?
Both, but you know, I'm assuming
you
I
don't
can,
care about the franchise quarterback anymore because any subsequent surgery now he's yesterday's news anyway.
I'm trying to start with a clean slate with the new guys. You have the best healthcare in the world right here. Look no further.
I agree, Freddie.
Dr. Phil loves me.
But we were talking about the Brian Cushing situation last week, Freddie.
Yeah.
And some more information has kind of come out about that because he actually addressed he had a press conference and addressed the media in Houston and really came up with a very
cockamamie,
hard-to-believe story that he said this HCG, is that what it's called?
I believe so.
HCG. Once he realized that, he says he didn't take this, so he wanted – to do more research is to find out how you could have elevated levels of this. And one of the things that can cause elevated levels, if you had tumors, if you had some sort of cancer, that can cause that hormone or whatever
that's not good.
To be elevated in your body. So he claimed to have gone around throughout the balance of last season thinking that he had a tumor and was going to die, and underwent a battery of tests, which, come to find out later, were NFL mandated because they want to rule out the fact that you artificially have a high level as opposed to ingesting, you know, injecting some sort of, you know, performance-enhancing drug into your body. So the NFL wants you to take all these tests to make sure that your "I didn't take it" plausible deniability is eliminated.
And by the way, he claimed, you know, the tumor route, despite the fact that he reportedly then passed subsequent tests for the HCG.
Right.
Meaning it's not still there. It's, the tumor exactly. is not causing it to continue to be produced.
He was not smart enough to realize that his own explanation was contradicting his original thought.
Based on what I've read, he should have gone with the ejaculate theory, that he was just caught in the bathroom before the test doing his business, and that's why it's in there, because I've read that that can cause an elevated level. I don't know the science, but that's a more plausible and less, I mean, they can see if you have a tumor or not.
Less debatable.
They can't ask you, were you really in the stall taking care of business?
You can't really deny it.
It's my word versus my word.
But I just, you know, to defend your thing, sometimes you hear these things and they get spouted on the radio, Fred, this morning. Now, I'm not defending Brian Cushing's story in the least because I don't believe a word of it. But this morning on WEEI, I'm listening to Dennis and Callahan, and they're saying, Callahan said at one point, you know, how despicable is it that he claims he was taking HCG for a tumor that he had that he didn't even have? I'm not defending Brian Cushing, but that's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
That's not even close to what he said. He claims that he doesn't have HCG, it never took it, and that one of the reasons that you have an elevated level is that perhaps you have a tumor, and he was concerned that he may have one.
Right.
He wasn't taking...
The tumor produces it.
He wasn't taking a PED to combat a tumor, which is basically the way, you know...
Right.
But that's an example of how you hear a bits and pieces or something. Someone driving around who's not really familiar with the story is like, wow.
Right.
You know, they suspended this guy because he had, you know, that's ridiculous.
Right. So anyway, Welker says he's doing fine. He's on schedule and feeling good. So I still say he's on PUP.
I do too.
Best case.
What?
Because he hasn't cut or anything yet. He hasn't done any of that yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I really have no idea on these anymore because so many of these guys seem to come back so quickly that I'm not going to rule anything out. I mean, my head tells me PUP probably back in the middle of October. But I'm not going to rule anything out with these guys. But I do find it weird how everybody keeps coming out with these stories, and including Robert Kraft last week. He looks fine. The rehab is going good. Well, I don't think anybody thinks he's not going to be on the football field at some point in 2010. Have you read that anywhere?
No.
Because I haven't.
No.
But it's somehow...
Well, except when it first happened, Andy said his career...
No, Andy said immediately...
I said mid-October.
He goes, we won't see him until week 8, week 7, whatever the PUP date, week 7.
You got a problem with that? Huh?
I don't read anybody saying that he's not going to come back at some point in 2010. Now, I read a lot of people saying he won't be ready for the start of the season. So if that's what Wes is talking about, I can understand that. If he thinks he's going to be out there for week 1 and that's what he's planning on doing, he's right about that. I don't think too many people give him much of a chance for that.
Yep.
You also don't want to do the Brandon Tate. You don't want him for 2 weeks in the middle of the year because he's important enough to this offense. Well, in my opinion,
if he's
Paul
ready.
Might think otherwise, but if he can get back in mid-December and you make the playoffs, he can be the difference in a run.
We're going to find out about the answer to that question, aren't we?
I know. You think he's loose change.
We'll find out.
Yeah. All right.
Seventh round quarterbacks and guys who spent an entire year on PUP.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email.
Seamlessly replace them.
543-7482. Want to thank Rajiv today for sending us lunch. That's
thank you, Rajiv.
Always appreciated.
You're the man!
And Rajiv writes in, he says, hope the lunch reached on time and is to your liking. It is, although Paul didn't get his sandwich.
No, but that wasn't Rajiv's fault.
No.
Who screwed that up?
Who do you think?
Tomash.
Yeah. So, give him one job.
Originally,
that's why one of 26 jobs under Doc is really hanging by a thread right
Paul
now.
Paul and I both ordered an Italian.
I'm hiring.
I had everything. He had no tomatoes. So I just took the first thing I saw was Italian. I started eating it.
Oh, wow.
So
luckily it had tomatoes.
Yeah. I was going to say, boy, Paul, not only didn't you get your sandwich, but you really did, and I'm eating it.
He's a bad guy over there. He really is.
Rajiv,
I'm with the guy who quit the show. Fred's a bad guy. Down to the core.
Mm-hmm. You also agree
soulless.
With, you also agree with the reason why that guy quit the show. Anyway.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Rajiv also says, to begin with, how bad is the Logan Mankin situation? There are rumors that he's really angry, and that's not a good sign. I know the Brady contract and the uncertainty about the CBA might be playing into this, but if you're going to pay Brady his money, should you not also pay the guy protecting your franchise quarterback? I think the Patriots are on a holding pattern right now, waiting for the Colts to extend Manning and then make a move on Brady's contract, following that up with Mankin's contract, though the same can be said about the Colts. I am just hoping we get him into training camp with a contract. Moving on, after the recent signing of Burgess, I still think the Patriots should make a move for Greg Ellis. Yes, the guy is 34 years old, but he has 12, 8, and 7 sacks in the last three seasons. The combination of Bantakane, Burgess, and Ellis, based on down and distance, can be an effective one. Last year, at the onset of training camp, we saw Seymour traded. Do you guys see Bill making a similar eye-raising, out-of-the-blue trade-slash-deal? And if yes, who do you think is the next Seymour? Well, that's all for now. Enjoy your lunch, and it's always great listening to you.
Well, using the Seymour model,
I have one.
Mankins would be the guy, because he's a guy that if you decide he wants $65 million that you can't give him, you trade him as an asset to get something back.
Yeah, now that would certainly make sense. However, I think that Mankins is so good that I think it's worth your while to have him, even if you say to yourself, no way I'm going to be able to re-sign this guy, but it's worth it for me to have him for one more year. To me, the guy would be Matt Light. Because I think that you could adequately replace him, and I know that's a lot of speculation on the, you know, among our readers and listeners have already said that, so I'm not necessarily going to put something outside the box there. But Matt Light is a guy that if you have made the determination that Kadjor is good enough to be my right tackle, and obviously I think they're fully comfortable with Vollmer no matter where they want to play him, you might be able to get something for Matt Light. I mean, you don't think you mean Buffalo has offensive line, perennially offensive line troubles. You could probably get something. One of our listeners in SPFW, I just posted it today, suggested Marshawn Lynch.
If the Patriots didn't have a logjam at running back,
yeah,
I would take it. I think it's a fair theoretical swap.
Yeah, and I actually, it's funny. I don't know if you didn't read it yet because I know you couldn't have, but that's.
You don't need the word yet there.
That's basically what I wrote. I think that trade is plausible. I think that would make sense. I don't know. Because of the age difference, I think you'd probably have to give up a little bit more than Light to get Lynch. But I don't think Lynch, the SPFW, the poster, thought a lot more of Marshawn Lynch than I do. I think he is another of what the Patriots have. He's a committee back. Matter of fact,
a 3.8 yards in a cloud.
I kind of like Fred Jackson better than Marshawn Lynch, to be honest
with
you.
So do the Bills.
In Buffalo, and now they have Spiller. So
that's why they want Lynch out, because there's not enough balls to go around.
Yeah, that's funny. They can't get their hands on enough balls. But
they're receivers.
I think that Lynch is a good player, but I think he just gets added to your group that you already have. Now, if you want to say, I'd like to replace Sammy Morris in that committee and get younger with Lynch, that makes sense. Or Taylor.
I wouldn't.
You know, I think, you know.
I'm not sure I want Marshawn Lynch but over any of them, but Maroney would probably be the guy. I don't really.
I would rather
I've never
get.
Been a, Lynch to me just was always literally like 3.8 in a cloud of dust.
That's what he is.
I'm not interested in that.
I don't think a whole lot of Lynch. I think he's
a
good
player. I think Jarvis Green Ellis could be 3.8 in a cloud of dust.
I think he's a good player, but he's not a difference maker. And that's basically what I think of all the Patriots running backs. I think they're all good. Taylor was a difference maker day, but he's not anymore.
Right.
They're all good players, but I think they're all replaceable. And I actually think that one of those guys isn't going to be back.
Could be.
I think Taylor or Morris, one of those two. You know, Maroney is the other one, but I think that he's the longer shot to not be back. I think because of his age, he probably gets one more year.
This is it, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, more importantly, I need to tell Rajiv, the white chocolate chip cranberry cookie provided by Grande, very good.
Oh.
I don't know that I've ever had another
one in there, Freddie, if you want it.
I'm good. Yeah.
Oh, well, then Andy might have a second, because it's really, I mean, I'm getting my fruit in. Cranberries are good for you, right? Unless they have some sort of oxidant or antioxidant.
Are you honestly going to try to tell me?
I'm eating them for the cranberry.
You're eating it for, for the nutritional value of the cranberry.
My daily serving of cranberry.
You are lying your ass off.
But it's an interesting mix of kind of the fruity with the sweet. It's like me. Slightly fruity and kind of sweet.
All right.
thought you were going
to
say
webradio@pages.com.
I was, but I'm not allowed to say that anymore, even when he's not here.
508-543-7482.
By the way,
the phone number.
Paul and I have been doing the blitz that Eric, you know, couldn't find time for.
I barely made it down for the start of the show.
Yeah.
Today.
I mean, the effing thing takes like 10 minutes.
Well,
although accidentally I didn't post yesterday.
Are you going?
I didn't put a date on. I posted it, but didn't put a date on it.
No,
so
stop
it didn't
telling
pop in.
Lies. You are an habitual liar.
During the season, I could see that taking a little bit of time, especially during
like on
training
a Monday
camp
or a whatever.
But in general, at this time of year,
he needs some cheese with his wine.
Let's see.
But I'm still going to let him do it all year.
Sam in Houston's on the phone.
I was at what?
Sam in Houston?
Yeah.
Not Sam Houston.
No. Sam in Houston. Sam, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? We go through this every time with the Sam.
Yep. That's what we do around here. We beat a dead horse.
We're nothing if not immature.
Because, you know, in Houston, the horse.
Okay, so let's recap this. We got somebody saying they're going to tattoo Gronsky on their long. We got
Gronkowski,
we
it's
got
long.
As the Crows Fly. We got horse piss. And then we had a spirited debate about politics. I love you guys. I'm telling you.
We touch a wide.
That's
array
why
here
we're talking
PFW
about
progress.
Starting. We're going to start a second show where we actually talk about the Patriots.
and now we get to the Patriots. Okay, so now they signed Burgess back. I don't know what you guys think of that move.
Bah.
And
Fred loves it.
Who else can we get that actually is not on the plus 30 side that has some production at getting at the quarterback?
Yeah, there's not a lot of options.
Nobody. Well, Sean Merriman.
Sean Merriman's the guy that everybody brings up, but, you know, this is a guy with 4 sacks in the last 2 years. You know, he's 2 years removed from production. So I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. He's, you know, sniffing around. He wants a new deal. He wants a big
no
money
chance.
Deal. He's got no leg to stand
anyone,
on, literally and figuratively.
Why would anyone give him money?
No
he
one
hasn't
will.
Been good for 2 years.
No one will.
And he has a steroid history.
And he's problems off the field. He's drama. There's a lot going on with that guy.
He should go
maybe
into wrestling.
He needs some edge like that sometime. I don't know. Maybe it's that whole, this guy is a wild card, but hey, he can be productive. I think if you gave a 3 and a 5 to get Burgess, certainly a 3 is worth somebody that's 26 years old.
Well,
The damaged goods thing would worry me, but you know what, Sam? I wouldn't be totally against acquiring the guy at your terms. If you could somehow convince him to say, I'll give a 4th-round pick to San Diego, Merriman, you come to me for 1 year and prove it. And that way, I will give you an opportunity to prove that you're healthy and you'll be a free agent again. I would be willing to take that chance.
Or even a
I would
conditional.
Not give him,
I was just going to say, I'd be willing to do a conditional.
Right. 10 sacks, it becomes a 3. 15
or
sacks,
a 2.
It becomes a 2.
Yeah.
But, 18
but
sacks,
no,
it's
no,
a 1 or
but
something.
But no money. No guaranteed
right.
money.
Because then it's
no,
all
no,
a prove
no,
it
not
year.
That because
right. He's
I'm
looking
like
for
he
a deal. And you
anything.
Have, yeah. You have to convince him, Sean, you're not going to get your money until you produce until you get back on the field and show the rest of the league that you can still play. You're not going to get money sight unseen.
And I actually think this would be a great place for him because of the theory around the defense. Because if he had 12 sacks here, let's say, people are going to say, wow, and they didn't just set him free. They used him, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he hits the open market with, you know, teams are bidding for him.
I would be willing to do that deal for Merriman under a prove it to me basis, but nothing guaranteed.
That's the only way I think we should get him because I'm like, it's already shown that San Diego is all but showing him the door.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that tells you something, too, though. I mean, Larry English, they brought in as a rookie last year, and he just had a so-so rookie year. He did nothing special. And Sean Phillips is still there, but they're wondering where they're going to get pressure on the passer from. Yet, as you said, Sam, they're showing him the door, and they're trying to get rid of him. So that tells you something, you know, about what they think of, you know, what the guy has left.
Hey, I just hope with all these, seasoned bets, that I'm like, we create some pressure. I mean, I know all that stuff is based off of how he schemes and who drops in the coverage and all this other great stuff and what Bill Belichick does with the defense. But I know everybody this whole year is hollering about who's going to get to the quarterback.
Well,
I just want to play better defense as a whole. And don't have a collapse like the whole.
I think, Sam, what we need to do is think back in 03 and 04 when
there were good players.
No, as a team, they were up there in total sacks. Don't look at it for as one guy, you know, leading the lead in sacks. You're not going to get that out of this team. But I think that if Wolfork comes back and has the type of season he's going to have as a leader, and Ty Warren stays healthy, and maybe, you know, Gerard Warren contributes in the middle, that front line is going to force a lot of plays that other guys can make. And if Belichick has more confidence using his defensive backs in, you know, blitzes and things like that, you might see getting back to 50-plus sacks as a team like they did during those Super Bowl years. And that's what I'm hoping
for. Is that realistic?
Why not?
I don't know if that's realistic. And
why
I'll tell you what.
Why?
Warren hasn't showed up since Seymour left.
He's been a starter his whole career.
He didn't say start. He said showed up.
No.
I kind of agree with him.
I'm like, Ty
Warren stopped showing up when he signed that extension.
He's never a guy that's going to get you any sacks.
No,
right,
but Fred's I'm not talking about sacks. I'm talking what Fred's talking about. You know, he creates some pressure, collapses it here, and all of a sudden Ninkovich can slide through.
Yeah.
But I just think there's a lot of ifs there. I don't think so either. He doesn't show up, and that's fine. You know, I think he's a solid starter. I think that's what he is, not much more than that. But I wasn't trying to be like antagonistic. I'm just not sure that you have reason to believe that's going to happen.
What did the Patriots have for sacks last year?
36?
It's only five less than they had in 03. They had 41 in 03.
41? So then, you know, maybe we're making too big of a thing about sacks.
It's pressure.
Right.
They don't get
any.
That's what
I'm talking
about.
It's pass
defense. Right. It's pass defense in general. They also had 29 interceptions as a secondary.
My
guess is if they took away a few of those interceptions, those would have ended as sacks. But the quarterback said, I'm getting rid of this bleeper.
Again, I think if you're stronger up front, you can create some of that stuff because, you know, the quarterback has to get rid of the ball quicker. Again,
but are they stronger up front?
I think they might be. And conversely, if you're stronger in the back, you can get some coverage sacks because there's nowhere to go with the ball.
Are they stronger in the back?
I think they are.
But, all right.
I think there's a better chance they're stronger in the back than they are in the front.
What do we base?
Okay. It's like it could be a dirty question.
What are we, easy. What do we base?
Poker in the back. Liquor. No, what is it?
Oh, here
my
we go.
God.
Jeez. It's unbelievable. He just
any,
keeps going.
Any subscribers left out there, please disregard Andy Hart because we need you.
If there was any doubt about where he was going with that, he had to erase it all.
No,
and just
but in
go
all
right
seriousness,
yeah.
I just.
Oh, now he wants to get serious.
Well, I've been trying to talk football with you, and you've been making it dirty for weeks now.
Oh.
Sam loves us.
But somehow I doubt that.
We need
the
Sam
secondary
in the studio audience.
You can sell me on Butler's going to be better, Bodden year two.
Right.
I buy the Bodden year two, and the system
Bodden
might work.
Year two in year eight of his career.
No, but in this system, I think he's still in the prime of his career.
Right.
I think he's a guy last year that didn't know where he was going to be playing.
I
think he's going to be comfortable now. I think he knows this is his home.
McGowan
and
Merriweather.
He played right cornerback from the day he stepped foot on the practice field, from the day he left it.
I mean, was he playing just for interceptions so he could go play next year in San Francisco at $80 million? Now he knows he's a New England Patriot. He's their best cornerback, and he's going to be expected to play a certain way.
McGowan and Merriweather as your starting safeties?
Do you think Bodden's going to get benched year like he was last year? No, that won't happen.
You better hope it doesn't.
You think McGowan is going to be the starting safety?
No, I don't.
I'm trying to get Andy going because I know
it's just so ridiculous. I don't take the bait.
Yeah, Andy's too mature for that.
Despite the fact that he started what, like 13 games last year or something. We have so. Let's look at this though. We have a defense that we're eliminating starters without really adding. Like we're taking
that's my
Guyton,
point. Why are we sure that the back is going to be better?
Starter,
and why are we sure the front is going
to
be better?
Axing him out of the lineup. For a second and a third round pick.
That's my point in a nutshell. I mean, I think it could be, but why do we think
that's what I'm asking him for?
He
thinks it's a 50 sack season.
I think that they are better on the inside at linebacker. I think that we can definitively say they will be better.
I'm not so sure.
What?
I mean, because he usually has a couple of guys in his zone coverage to keep people like Peyton Manning from, well, he does it a little bit too much anyway, but throwing across the middle. I'm like, but it's a lot of times where I see most of the guys just set the edge and then they drop in the coverage. I'm like, and then these three guys up front supposed to create all this pressure? I mean, Jarvis Green was a little too light. For me, he got pushed around almost every play. Warren never created pressure by pushing the pocket. And then that left double teams for Seymour, or even triple teams. So I'm like, my main concern really is that, I guess, that old Seymour spot, and then I'm still interested to see how this whole middle linebacker thing is going to play out, because that's the argument for the ages right now.
Well, we'll see. We will see. I think it's going to be exciting.
But at least there's hope there.
Yeah. There's going to be some great competition in camp.
To me, there's more hope in McKenzie and Spikes vying for playing time than there is for Gerard Warren. Because, I mean, Gerard Warren has been a good starter in the NFL, but I'm not sure he's going to be the difference maker on your defense.
But I guarantee, as far as the middle linebackers go, the inside linebackers, if all three of them show promise, Belichick will devise a way to get them on the field.
Right.
One guy is not going to languish on the bench.
I mean, we need to include Gary Guyton somewhere. Right. He's going to play.
Like,
he's going to be a contributor.
Here's Gary Guyton. He started most of the games.
I believe he started all 16 games last year, and yet we're trying to run him out of the lineup as fast as we can.
Who is this guy? Who is he?
Right. So.
All right, Sam.
See you, Sam.
Right, you guys,
Sam in Houston.
One.
Thanks, Sam.
Houston in Texas.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. This is PFW in progress.
Send up all fat men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, the opening was so good. Doc had to play it for Andy.
It was good.
It was good.
As usual, it has to be provided by a listener to be good, right?
That was from Amash.
That was from Mike in L.A.
Oh, no, I didn't.
That was Mike in L.A., and of course we have John in L.A.
Well, it's good for us to have a presence in L.A. again. And John's not... Oh, is he back
but,
in L.A.?
But Mike in L.A. and John in L.A. are not related.
Johnny, even though their last names are in L.A.
Johnny in L.A. has sent us another soundbite from King of the Hill that
is
has to
related?
Do with my mild weather comments. So why don't you play that, Doc?
Did you steal this, too?
I never really knew what they meant when they said mild weather, but dang if it doesn't feel mild out here.
There you go. See?
Did you watch King of the Hill before you came in and stole that just like you steal everything
another
else?
Another person who...
You're right. Those headphones look ridiculous when you wear them on top of your head. Put them down the other way.
Freddie's got a nice haircut, though.
He got mad when I asked him about it.
He's looking nice and neat.
Well, which is very unlike him.
Andy's idea of asking if you've got a haircut is, wow, look at all your forehead. Look at all blah, blah, blah. He doesn't ask.
did you do that to him?
Did you get a haircut?
He took it that way and fought back.
Yeah. Did you get a haircut? That's not a question that he would ask. It's gotta be.
Well, I think it's a stupid question. Everyone who asks that question knows the answer when they ask the question.
Your hair's as neat as I've ever seen it.
It's
actually neat.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, you should have heard Paul making fun of your shirt.
Would you
prefer
him to ask if you're balding?
My shirt yesterday? What was wrong with
my
shirt?
I don't know, but he was mocking it left and right.
Didn't like it?
As usual, that's not exactly accurate.
Where are you making fun of his shirt?
You actually came
around the corner and said, you got to go in and look at Fred's shirt. You can make fun of it.
Now, that's accurate. I wanted Andy to go in and see your shirt.
What was wrong with my shirt?
Because I know he would have had comments.
I don't know. I didn't actually see it.
It was actually a shirt that I would wear.
Right.
But it just was a different kind of shirt for you. And I think Andy would have had comments had he
Here's the problem.
Of course I would have had comments. I don't think there was anything wrong with the shirt. It was just a different kind of look for you.
If you're from this area, you've heard of this place called the Wrentham Outlets.
Yes.
It's like this place, every outlet under the sun is theirs. You know, pole, whatever. So my kid had to get some clothes, and they had this store, the Penguin Store. Have you heard that type of clothing, the Penguin line? It's got the little penguin. Anyway,
no.
So I go in there, and I buy a couple shirts. I buy a couple shirts from the clearance rack. One of them is double XL. I bring it home, too small.
Really?
That's not the shirt's fault.
I swear to God.
You're thinking you're still not fat.
No, but it's the cut of these things.
The cut of the jib. Oh, that's because you're so big in the pectoral area.
No.
It was the cut of the shirt.
I don't know, those are called breasts.
The shirt I was wearing yesterday was
the second shirt that I bought from the store, which was just an XL, and that fit. So obviously there was a wrong tag on it or something. Oh. That might have been why it showed up.
You thought
in the
that clip. Fit, huh?
Well, you'd have thought it was too tight.
No, it was fine. I'm just kidding.
Let's see. Jim in Detroit writes in, good show never becomes great unless there are enticing conversations that spark discussion and sometimes controversy. This draws in listeners, and that is why I continue to tune in every show, even though Paul is still an idiot. Wow, Paul. Anyway, for a guy who doesn't live in the area and has the Detroit Lions as his resident team, when would be the best time to travel to Foxborough for a chance to watch the team, potentially get autographs, etc.?
Well, training camp is the best time to get autographs.
The last week of July through mid-August is when training camp is here. It's open to the public. No parking is free. There's no ticketing. So just show up.
Paul will be in the media tent greeting visitors. Yeah. You can come shake an idiot's hand.
You can check the website as we get closer to the end
of
July.
Talking, of course, to Mike and Sharon.
For the daily
I talk to everybody.
Schedule.
I don't hide in the media.
I usually consult with Mike and Sharon to check my make sure who's at practice and who's
it's
not.
It's very valuable to talk to Mike and Sharon because he usually knows a hell of a lot more than what's
him
going
and
on
Mrs.
than we
B.
do.
Right. So, yeah.
But I also do not hide out in the VIP areas.
If
like
he wants
Andy
to
Hart
see
does.
The team there as a pro, I mean, like a game, then.
No.
Could he double dip it? When's the last preseason game? Could he?
I don't know. The last one is 24th or something like that, August.
August
anyway,
26th. And then the 12th is the opener, so he'd have to do a 2-week vacation.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's not
enough to do in Foxborough.
The best time
for 2 weeks.
To see players up Patriot close Place. And possibly get an autograph is during training.
Well, I would recommend Patriot Place for a portion of the trip to walk around and experience it.
Sure.
The hall.
Yeah.
Got to hit the hall.
Presented by Raytheon.
That's what I was looking for.
Sam from New Zealand. Could you possibly answer?
Sam New Zealander?
Could you possibly answer a question for me?
No. I love when Fred looks into the camera, breaks the fourth wall.
I haven't been listening to the show for that long, so maybe I'm just ignorant.
Probably.
But why do you guys hate Eric and Doc so much?
Listen a little while longer and you'll know.
Maybe I'm just sympathizing with Eric because I, too, am a pompous a-hole who likes to wear turtlenecks.
We hate you, too.
And I don't know what goes on behind the scenes there. But if Doc is the producer, isn't he the boss of all of you?
No.
Fred is
the boss of all of us.
We're not part of the 26 that fall under Doc's
team. Actually, Fred used to be the boss of all of us, but now he has a boss.
I got demoted. He's never done anything to make me think he's a moron the way you guys do. If you could answer this for me, it would be greatly appreciated.
Well, Doc is a moron.
Thanks, Mom, for sending that in.
And Eric is annoying, and you'll come to realize that.
So,
that's really how it is, though.
We don't hate anybody.
You know how you go to a party and somebody tells you, you know, this jerk's going to be there, and you talk to him for like 20 minutes, and he didn't seem that bad, and then you see him at another party, and then another, and you go, oh, yeah, now I see why that guy's a jerk. You can't tell on first glance that Eric's a pompous a-hole, but he is.
Oh, I think you can tell that.
Some people can. People like you and I who are very perceptive.
But we don't hate it. We don't hate Eric. I certainly don't hate Doc. We just mock and ridicule him. There's a difference.
I have no comment. I chipped my tooth last night, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
Right. How'd you do that?
What were you doing?
Just chicken rolling around with the kids.
You're not supposed to bite them.
I don't think I did. I'm going to have to get that fixed.
Did one of them elbow you? I mean,
I didn't feel it. So I think I just have my teeth are falling apart.
Yeah, it could be.
Freddie, I had some buffalo tenders last night that were
all
actually
the vile
too hot.
Bile that comes out of your mouth.
What?
Vile bile?
Vile
what does that
bile.
Mean?
I like it.
Yeah, you like it?
Had some buffalo tenders last night that were actually too hot.
Really? Where is this?
Yeah, place in the homestead. Yeah.
Does your husband eat?
I ate them. Don't get me wrong.
I think now I know why you're crapping your brains out today.
I had alligator when I was in Mississippi.
Tastes like chicken?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
Smell like fish?
No, it's fried.
Fried alligator, huh?
Sometimes chicken
what
smells
portion
like fish
of the alligator
cooking
in
the same oil.
Couldn't tell you it was fried.
The giblets.
Vinesy says, you guys were talking about wet dreams last week. I wonder if my IT guy at my job can tap into the radio stream and wonder, what the F am I listening to? That is a problem.
Yes, but that is true, Vinesy. We were talking about that, but somehow the Star Wars reference is what really offended people.
Well, right.
You know, politics and religion set people off.
Well,
wet dreams, we all have
dreams.
Them, except Fred.
I have never had one. What can I say?
I don't understand
it's a good thing
that,
since you walk around all the time with no pants on.
Right. I think in listening to that show on the plane coming back, Andy had the best line after that.
I agree.
It's really an orgasmic experience.
Thanks.
I wonder what the – can somebody – strippers, you're an expert in that field. I wonder what the percentage is of men who have – I mean, is that a normal thing or am I abnormal and don't know it?
Well, you have it every night.
No, I don't.
I think pretty much everything you do is abnormal.
I agree, but I thought all men – had wet dreams at some portion of it.
I think you're right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm probably the abnormal one.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's see. Blaine says, I bet you guys have never had an emailer from Bermuda.
I don't think we put a pin in Bermuda. Doc, we need pins.
No, I have never been lost in the Bermuda Triangle, so don't even ask.
Is all of Bermuda in the Bermuda Triangle?
I don't know.
That was tough for you. I'd actually say I don't know. You wanted to answer.
Let's say something happens to Randy Moss this year. And let's hope that nothing does. Who will be the number one wide receiver, and what does that do to our season?
The number one wide receiver would be, I guess, Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt right now.
I mean, theoretically.
Yeah, unless Tate can step up.
Right, or, unless you get...
Although Edelman, I think, is going to be before Welker... No, well, listen, hear me out.
I don't listen.
Before, assuming he doesn't get hurt, and before Welker comes back, I think he might be your most reliable receiver.
Well, part of that is the role.
Yes.
You seem reliable when you're 3 feet from the quarterback
right.
who throws you the ball.
Exactly.
But I think the best options would be Price and Tate, because to me they have stretch-the-field type speed, can make some plays... I know I've fallen in love with Price, having not really seen much about him, but I think in theory he has talent to be a potentially decent option on an offense. But let's be honest. If Moss goes down, we are in. I mean, you're going to lose. If you lost the two guys, Welker and Moss, that caught like 600 passes over the last 3 years, I mean,
right.
you're in offensive rebuilding mode. You got to change, you know, it's G-Force time.
Do you ever notice lately in every show Paul just leaves at some point?
I think he's
is this
having,
a Flomax problem?
I do believe it is an issue, yes. At his age, he should probably have it tested.
You should talk to him.
Hey, Fred.
What?
You would be abnormal. According to the two websites that I looked at, between 80 and 90% of
That's
men.
What I said. I said I'm probably abnormal.
Have ever had them? Have them regularly? What's the statistic?
Regularly.
Regularly.
Oh, so I'm perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Okay. I always feel weird. Now I won't feel so weird.
Guys just don't talk about it, I guess. You have to come
Except
to this
me.
Show.
Because I always feel weird when I get up in the middle of the night to change my underwear, and Deidre goes, what happened? I had another wet
Soggy drink. Pants.
I always feel a little weird, though. And then I throw it in the hamper, and you walk by, and you kind of smell the...
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you know, oh, my God. There go another dozen
but
listeners.
Little did I know, 80 to 90% of men are having the same issue.
Oh, God.
Because I always think, like, it's never happened on the road, and I share a room with Eric, but what would happen on the road
Jesus.
If I had to change my underwear?
Oh, my God. Oh.
All right, let's talk football.
But getting back to Paul, he just gets up and leaves every show now.
I think he has some issues.
Does he wait for a break?
He can't go 2 hours.
Yeah, he like,
and isn't that going more frequently is one of the side effects?
Even I wait for a break most
it's
of the time.
It's a growing problem that he has to deal with.
We'll have to talk about him. Let's see. John and Lynn writes in. He said, in my last email, I mistakenly call Eric he who must not be named, and he is actually just he who is not named.
He is not useful.
I like listening to you guys. Your show reminds me of the old Channel 38 Ask the Manager show.
I which remember
was
that
late,
show.
Which was late night and probably only watched by about 15 people,
hey.
Including me. Every other letter to the manager was regarding the Three Stooges, with the most popular question being, why aren't there more Curly episodes instead of Curly Joe or Shemp episodes? I agree with that. There was only one Curly, and that was... I mentioned this because it was just a couple of guys sitting at a table fielding idiotic questions, only they weren't eating lunch because it was 3 in the morning, but it was weirdly entertaining. Why can't... Now if you get
Save that. Put that one in quotes on the poster. Weirdly entertaining
would
be a good one.
I like that.
We need posters.
Why can't they make Gronkowski an outside linebacker? He's big, fast enough, and think of all the interceptions he'd get. Then Andy could have a Woody the whole game. He'll put him on special teams, too. Go, Gronk, go.
Yeah, I'm not sure his back is looking to play both ways.
And yeah.
I was reading, I don't know if you guys saw this, Bob Lobel, local sportscaster legend.
Yeah.
Has kind of some health issues. Spinal stenosis was
What's
part of it.
What's the deal with that?
Can't actually walk without the assistance of walkers and things
right.
is in rehab. And that's scary because some of the pre-draft, and I want to say this is all pre-draft stuff, the word spinal stenosis was used with
right.
Gronkowski. Now, he called it something different at the combine. I forget the exact wording. But it's scary to think that, and I mean, you know, I know every player is one hit away from paralysis potentially, but it's scary to think that he has this issue that a sportscaster ended up paralyzed or
having trouble walking.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I certainly don't think we want him. I'd like to see him in a nice role as a pass-catching tight end. I'm not looking for him to cover kicks or play defense.
John has some sarcasm. Per last week's show, maybe today, you guys could pore over and discuss the 2,500-page health care bill. I'm sure, like Dennis and Callahan, you're all experts on the subject, and it would make for a riveting web radio.
Next topic.
We're not, but I did bring up, we debated it for like 6 months, and it happened, and now nothing has happened. Like, it just went away.
What?
Shouldn't somebody have read that? And shouldn't there be more specials? We've finally delved into the 2,500 pages, and here is what it means for America. I haven't seen any of it. Once the vote was on, it like fell out of the rotation on the news.
Show, yeah, it's all crap.
It's kind of like the credit thing. Yeah. Everybody told me they changed all these credit rules, and you're not going to be able to get credit cards.
I've seen the impact.
But
yeah.
Nothing's happened to me. I still
have
get six a
bill?
Day.
Yeah, but have you looked at your bill? Now it tells you how long it will take.
No. I know all that, but everybody said it's going to be harder to get credit. They're going to take away all your points on your credit card. You're not going to get as many offers in the mail every day.
Well, that's up to each business to what
but
they want to do.
But I still get a MasterCard or a Visa offer like every day.
Well, I thought you were talking more in terms of like mortgage.
No. I'm talking
about stuff
that
really changed.
There was a whole. It's going to change everything, and I haven't seen a huge change. You know, everybody said all those 0% financing offers are going to go away. Every flyer I look through, it says Best
never
Buy.
Never as bad as they say, and it's
36 months, no
say.
Interest. Jordan's 36 months, no interest. I just, well, these politicians.
You're rich, so you're getting all the offers.
I get the Sunday paper, and it has a Best Buy flyer in that. If that's me getting all the offers, then yes, you're right. I get all the offers.
I don't know. I would think that in terms of the businesses, like Jordan's you're saying, I would think they would have to have more of those because they're trying to generate.
But the theory was
the economy.
The businesses themselves don't bank that. There's always a banker, like
that
an HSBC or
that backs it. Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
The theory was those people weren't doing it. They were going to cut down on those offers and not do that anymore. But I haven't seen. Maybe they found new ones. Maybe some of those.
But I know I had a deal with Lowe's 0% interest, and I recently got a letter, maybe a few months ago, that said we're no longer able to offer the 0% financing anymore.
Wait a minute, in a deal you're currently in?
Well, I had the deal that I was in. I paid it off.
Oh,
okay.
I was going to say, I didn't think that would be legal to halfway through
we're
charging you 20% a month now.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo.
You missed good stuff, Paul, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
We're in the 80 to 90% of men regularly have wet dreams.
Oh, okay. So we actually did some research on that.
Yeah. Well, Doc went to two websites.
Well, what's regularly?
Oh, for Christ's sake. I had to ask him to get the regularly out of him.
But more importantly, we notice every show you're getting up and going to the bathroom.
Well, this is not like every show. That was I'm having an Andy Hart day. That was number four.
Metamucil. Okay. I'm telling you. It was just early in the morning, boom, you'll be
tough
done.
Day. Right. No, the reason I normally do that is because I drink an inordinate amount of Diet Coke during the course of the show.
Okay. No Flomax issues?
No.
Here. Okay, good.
Have you been tested? Finger up the...
Move on.
At your age, 40-something, aren't you supposed to do it?
He doesn't call it a test. Actually. He calls it a date.
Very good, Fred.
That was good by both of you. Well done.
It would have been better if Eric were here. But
right. Let's see.
Fred's lost his train of thought.
I was going to say something else, but then
50, by the way, unless you have a history of problems in your family.
Waterloo,
so next
Iowa.
Year you'll have to.
Where Sawyer's from. He says, I have a new thing to try out. It can be called What We Learned Last Show. A simple recap of what went down in the last show. Fred met a senator in a tight Batman shirt. I was the one in the Batman shirt, not the senator. Andy makes fun of a dying overweight kid. Fred believes that Star Wars is real. Paul's
No. Quite.
That's
I don't
right.
want to clarify his comments,
he
but it's
think,
quite the contrary.
He does think it's real.
I don't think that was what his
but he does
comparison
think it's real
was.
Because that's
that
that's
was
the
whole
fight
thing that started,
started,
dummy. Paul's highlight of his life is when he took a message from Bobby Orr. Andy
it was up there.
Andy has said no to guys, and then they sniffed it.
Whoa. What's that mean? That paints me in a strange light.
Well, that's okay.
I'm not sure I remember that.
I don't either, and I want to know what we're talking about.
I don't know.
I said no to guys, and
then they sniffed it.
And that's when they smoke it?
I don't know.
Sawyer, can you clarify that one?
Eric went to Vegas to visit the first all-male brothel.
Would you guys shut up, for Christ's sake?
I believe Fred said that.
Yeah, and we'll find out confirmation on that on Thursday.
No, we won't. No, not talking about it.
There's the first trial. Try to get better as we go on. On a side note, all your names have four letters. You guys are our favorite four-letter words.
That's true.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doc only has three, but.
Yeah, he has two C's. It's Doc, D-O-C-C.
Doc.
Doc Ellis, D-O-C-K.
Let's see.
Andy's right now saying, I don't know who Doc Ellis is.
I stopped listening.
TJ
so am I.
TJ and NJ says, I'm not putting a lot of emphasis on the rookies making a significant contribution this season,
uh-oh.
But rather I'm focusing on the sophomores and juniors, so to speak. Is it accurate to suggest that the success of the team relies on the success of the second and third string players? Could the depth of the roster, or lack thereof, be the deciding factor on how well the team does this upcoming season?
No.
What can we expect from the likes of Julian Edelman, Brandon Tate, Patrick Chung, Dan Connolly, Mark LaVoir, Myron Pryor, Sean Crable, Darius Butler, Will Hyten, Wheatley, Brandon McGowan, Kyle Arrington, Ron Brace, Tyron McKenzie, Rich Ornberger? Do any of these players stand out?
Yes, some of them.
Yeah, some of them.
Sure. Edelman, Tate.
But I disagree
McKenzie.
With his overall
Butler,
theory.
McKenzie.
I think this team is stocked with second and third stringers. The question is, how many first stringers do they
have? And I think
playmakers. We talked about it at all last year from like day week two on. They need playmakers and big play guys, not a bunch of nice backups, quality, blah.
A lot of the guys seem to be the same. Now, I think that you're going to be, the success is going to be dictated on if a select number of those guys can separate themselves from the pack and become better than the rest of those guys. And if you get enough of those guys, especially on defense, I think that you can have a, as Fred likes to say all offseason, a playmaking defense.
And it's plausible with some of them. I think
Darius Butler is a guy that could separate himself from the Wheatleys and the Will Heights and all those guys.
I think he already has. On your year two jump and your year seven jump
I know you do, and then
but
you come around to my line of thinking.
I actually do allow for young players to get better. To me, it's a lock that some of these young players will get better. But the question is, how many do you need to get better, and will you fill that need?
Yeah. And much
if
like
they
you
get
do,
no contribution from the rookies, by the way, they're in trouble. Because at tight end, if you get no rookie contribution, you are in major
trouble. Algie Crumpler's probably not enough.
Webradio at patriots.com.
Enough for two tight ends.
Email address 508-543-7482. John in Dallas is
always
on the phone. Hey,
continuing his streak of giving out the number to the one line when the one line is full.
John, how you doing?
Fred,
hey, John.
Doing good. How are you?
Great.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. It sounds like the only normal guy on the show is Paul.
That's often the case.
Does boring mean normal?
You know, having those Flomax issues at his age is totally normal.
Yeah.
visiting a Penguin store and having wet dreams is not normal.
Oh wow. The Penguin store, I don't know anything about.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I think it caters to prepubescent teens.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think you're having a little...
Maybe that's why the double XL didn't fit me.
Right, it's like a youth double XL.
It was a youth double XL.
You might try the store just left of them.
Okay.
It's the Huskies that way.
Wow. Yeah, but it's the short and fat store.
You know who brought the Penguin back?
Had their own
Penguin
store.
Was like a big brand in the 50s and 60s, but Vince Vaughn started wearing it and kind of brought it back. So it's, I don't know.
And you have to always fall in line with all the latest fads.
Right, because no one's cutting edge like Vince Vaughn.
What do you and Vince Vaughn have in common?
Receding hairline.
They're one-trick ponies.
Yeah, I was going to say nothing, but okay.
Certainly not Jennifer Aniston.
You got that blow up button ready, Doc?
Get your trigger finger.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Hey, I appreciate Andy. Thanks for posting on the blog. I think it's from the heart. Your latest one.
No problem.
I agree with 90% of your roster projections come day one. The concern that I have is that I agree with 90% of your roster projections come day one.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking the same thing that you agree with me.
Yeah, so primarily, the biggest question for me, I'm sure for everyone, is the outside linebacker spot, right?
Yes, I would agree.
Assuming McKenzie, assuming Spikes develop into some, I'm not saying they're going to be Pro Bowl players this year, but if they can contribute and get on the field and stay on the field, do you guys think we have enough flexibility to move, let's say, Mayo or even McKenzie outside and or have Spikes and McKenzie play in with Mayo out? I mean, I think the linebacking core, the way it stands today on paper, is a very athletic group, right? What kinds of options do we have at both inside and outside, and what do you guys think Mayo's potential is to play both?
Limited.
He would be the only one, too, out of that group. I don't think McKenzie...
I don't think he has the length.
I don't think McKenzie is suited for that. But Mayo...
I don't think any of them are suited for it in terms of a long-term option.
I think Mayo is somewhat athletic to play inside. I don't think he would be athletic on the outside.
He played outside his first couple of years at Tennessee before they moved him inside.
Yeah, but as a 4-3 guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. He's not your prototypical size in BB's defense. But the question is, the problem I have is that I've got zero confidence in Burgess. And TBC, I think, is a situational pass rushing kind of guy. I don't see him as a three down linebacker.
I actually think he has taken steps in growth in that area. It's funny because last year it was all early in the year. Bill kept saying we've kind of pared down his role, focused on what he can do, told him to focus on that. And I thought he had a pretty good all around year. I thought he played a lot. I didn't think he just ran on the field in passing situations.
I thought he did a better job. Setting the edge and being out there as part of the run. I didn't
see
him.
And theoretically, that was what they were removing from his plate.
Yeah, I didn't see him doing much in the other stuff in terms of dropping and things like that. But I did think that he was reasonably productive as a three-down player last year. I think he had a nice year. He did.
I use Fred's term. I think he's serviceable. But I think his strength is on third down, right?
If he's serviceable, then the other guys suck.
Right.
I think
that's what John's point is. He's really worried about that.
That's exactly my point.
Boy, you're very negative.
But at 6'1", I just looked at it. Mayo's 6'1", 245. That's really small for that scheme to play outside. And I think he would, you know, Guyton at least
and
is
6'3".
Yeah. Well,
like, even when you look at him, it doesn't – some of those guys,
he's
6'1", but he has the wingspan
he's
of a 6'6".
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fire hydrant.
Yeah. You know, at least Guyton is, you know, and
he's
I don't think –
like Fred.
Guyton is 6'3", at least.
What's wrong with your voice?
I don't know.
He had something. Never mind.
You've been stuffing your mouth since 12 o'clock. What do you got in your mouth right now?
I had another cranberry and white chocolate cookie. They are phenomenal. God. They are the best cookies they've sent yet.
What's
Paul,
that other
there's one. I don't know. It's a little darker.
Hey, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It makes me hungry. So, if just for a second, hear me out, okay? If size is not. Size doesn't matter, right?
We all
Here
know
we
it
go.
Does.
Here we go. You had to say that.
It's not the size, it's how you use it.
Is that what
exactly.
she said to you? That was nice of her.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight.
No, why
exactly.
is there a dog involved here?
Our biggest
it's the size of the fight and the dog.
Our biggest concern with Guyton playing outside linebacker is not his speed or his coverage ability, right? It's his
right.
ability to set the edge, right?
Right. Stout.
Right?
Yes.
So
what are we talking about? What is the point? Are we saying that
the
one thing is the most important?
No.
No, I guess my point is that if Mayo can take on blockers inside, and he's probably the second fastest linebacker on our roster right now, right? Next to Guyton. Why couldn't he succeed outside?
Because I believe it's a different technique in taking on blockers. It's using your length to take on taller tight ends.
The
and
arms
tackles.
Are important in that.
It's holding a guy off your body, whereas inside,
it's
more
power.
Often than not, it's just banging heads and one guy's going to win. I mean, I know there's technique involved and you're disengaging and you're using your hands, but not as much as on the outside. Because on the outside, you have a tight end that's trying to hook you. You have a tackle. They're doing some double teams, chipping. There's a back coming. The length is what they put so much focus on to keep all those guys off your body, to slow everything down, and kind of control that area on the end of the line of scrimmage, hence set the edge. All right, John.
Crickets.
John, you still there?
Apparently not.
There's a chance.
Okay.
I mean, listen, Bill has done some unconventional things, the things that we looked at on paper and said, well, so-and-so can't do this because of whatever reason, and Bill has gone against conventional wisdom in the past. So I'm not going to say there's no way he'll do it. I just kind of look at it the way that Bill has talked to us about it. You know, he likes a certain stereotype. You know, even as recently as April in the pre-draft press conference talked about standards for different positions. And one of the things that he talked about was the, you know, the 6'4", 260-ish kind of a player for outside linebacker. And at 6'1", I mean, it's one thing if you're, instead of 6'4", you're 6'3", or 6'2". I mean, at 6'1", that's a big difference. And I think that it's not necessarily the height, like Andy said, it's the wingspan. And I think then listen to guys like Vrabel and McGinnis talk, it's keeping guys off of them and having the ability to sort of stand tall and keep guys at arm's length and be able to make sure that that running back needs to make a decision when he gets out there. And I'm not sure that at 6'1", it's as easy to do that sort of stuff. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just think it's something that Bill looks at.
All right.
Well, Guyton, I mean, if you look at Guyton, he's got the height, and he's a little light, but he's got the height.
He got completely overpowered on the outside
right.
2 years ago.
I think
ago.
Mayo has the power. I think Guyton is closer to the length. You put them together, and you'd probably have a guy that could play the edge. They do travel
well,
in pairs.
But I actually think you might see Guyton play all over. I think he's going to be in sub-packages, and I think they're going to use him in a variety of ways. Find ways to
right.
utilize his athleticism.
And like you said earlier, Paul, on another show, he might have a better season this year, even though he
doesn't
play
Well, I think you might
much.
Notice him more
right.
making plays
right.
that you remember more
right.
so than
every
yeah, down.
Sleigh rides.
Yeah, because I think that there were times where he got completely overpowered last year, and none right. the least of which was the playoff game.
All right, John, thanks for calling. John from Dallas.
508-543-7482 if you'd like to join us on the open line just vacated by John in Dallas.
And by the way, what's the number for subscriptions?
1-800-494-PATS.
Good.
Yeah, you need to worry about subscriptions since people are canceling.
You're
threatening
driving
letters
away.
To Robert Kraft due to your religious whatever.
Suddenly we have so many subscribers that we're willing to just drive some away intentionally.
You know,
thanks,
Fred. If they're listening, screw them. If they're not, screw them.
I guess I'm really not getting my sub today, huh?
I don't think so.
Although I'm not sure I need it the way my morning is gone.
Doug and Blackstone.
Just more fuel for the fire.
We haven't heard from Doug and Blackstone lately.
Dougie. Dougie.
Says, Fred, I heard last week you're trying to lose some weight. You have inspired me to join you in the Battle of the Bulge. I am currently 5'10 and 235 pounds. My target weight will be 195. When I set my mind to losing weight, I do very well by following this simple rule. If you want to empty the grass bag, you have to turn off the mower. A basic safety tip in lawn care that works for weight loss. Good luck, Fred, and keep us posted on your progress.
Okay. That's why I have such trouble losing weight, evidently.
You don't turn the mower off.
No, I don't.
Now for the Patriots. When do the mandatory workouts start, and have any of the rookies signed contracts yet? I have not heard anything yet, but the Patriots usually do a great job of getting everyone in camp. With training camp right around the corner, what are the positions that worry you guys the most, and where do you think we are loaded for bear?
Son of
mandatory workouts start. Man. There's one coming up in a couple weeks?
No. The mandatory mini camp or the OTAs?
June.
Well, mandatory mini camp isn't until June 15th. That's when everybody will be
right
here.
That's when everyone's here.
But they are
theoretically.
They will have several OTA sessions that
are
we'll be able to, well, they're not mandatory, but.
I thought the passing camp, the early passing camp.
No, those aren't mandatory.
Oh, okay.
There are, I think, four or five different dates that Andy, Eric, and I will be allowed to attend, and certainly will pass along.
But
those aren't mandatory. But most people, they usually have one for younger guys and newcomers, and then the other ones, everybody's pretty much here.
Right? I hope Eric has time to squeeze it into his busy schedule.
But the first,
well, I don't know if he'll have time if he has to do the blitz that day.
The first mandatory mini camp is mid-June, and that's just a few days, and then they leave. And that's,
right.
That's
basically
that's the last you see them for like 6 weeks, yeah.
Yep, so the last hoorah. And also, where do you think the Patriots
are loaded for bear?
Are loaded for bear, and where are the positions that worry us?
Well, outside loaded linebacker is position of worry.
Well, I think that middle line, that inside linebacker right now, you got to say on paper,
right.
I like the options.
I don't see any positions that's loaded for
bear. They got a rookie who runs a 5-flat, a guy coming off an ACL, a tackle machine who's not living up to his top 10 pick hype, and a guy who we're trying to run out of the starting lineup who started 16 games a year ago. Where's
now,
the bear or the loaded or whatever's good in that sentence?
It's the guys that they drafted late that supposedly had higher value, the offensive Woo-hoo! Linemen, they could be loaded for bear on offensive line.
Yeah, but it's the one position or one of the positions where everybody wants to change. It's not good enough. You know, they have all their backups and starters back, and yet everybody's not happy with it.
Yeah, I think they have some areas.
They're not loaded for bear at any single position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean that disrespectfully. I don't think they're loaded for bear at any spot. I think that they have questions almost everywhere.
Theoretically, corner could be the closest, I guess.
It's a transition.
Bodden's a good. What?
It's a transition.
Wow.
No, I think I said that. I think they're at transition at tight end. You know, there's certainly transitions going on at wide receiver. There's transition going on at linebacker. The only place there isn't really a transition is defensive line, where it's a lot of veterans, really.
It's an interesting theory.
You know?
The wide receiver one jumped out to me because theoretically Moss is gone next year.
Right.
So you would think next year would be the transition year, but if you kind of have your transition year a year early where Tate and Price maybe they're ready for the jump next year.
So
interesting.
There's a lot of transitions going on in this team.
Did you want to say something? I wore them just for you today.
What are those boots? Oh, my God. These are like these half boots with the zipper up the side.
No, no zipper. It's just like a stretchy.
I think that's
there's no doubt, Wes.
Kind of what is that like, you know, early Salvation Army design? Or
actually,
what is
that? They're penguin.
Penguin? Really? Yeah. They look like the penguin's feet.
Don't penguins have little chubby feet?
No, from Batman. You ever see Batman?
Yeah, but did they show his feet?
I think he had.
He was Danny DeVito.
He had big shoes, I think, I believe.
Yeah, I literally put these on this morning thinking, I can't wait for Fred to see them. They're part of the brother-in-law spring collection.
I guess.
From Kenneth Cole.
Let's see.
I'm pretty hip, you know. You're not the only one who goes with the latest fads and goes to the Penguin store.
Francis writes in, following last Tuesday's show discussion, you guys said that if Sebastian Vollmer played left tackle this year, that meant Matt Light was to be released. Why not play Vollmer at the left tackle and Light at right tackle? Light has become way too slow versus speed rushers. See the two games against the Ravens. Suggs went by him with ease. But I still think Light has more ability than Kazier, and don't forget that he's a great locker room guy, which is what they're trying to build on this year. Also, I was just wondering when the training camp that is open to the public starts. I think I will be driving down from Canada to attend part of the training camp. Again, that's last week of July through the second week of August. Check Patriots.com as we get closer for practice schedules. But going back, I don't think Matt Light can play right.
Well, Bill Belichick has essentially said it.
Yeah.
Well, he's been pretty open with the fact that he makes a big joke out of it for his first week here. We put him at right, and that didn't last long. And in all our genius or in all our brilliance, we put him there, and now he's solidified at left. He has pretty much said he can't play right tackle.
I never said that.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you did, Bill.
That's the problem.
I mean, the guy's been a franchise left tackle protecting Drew Brees and Tom Brady for like 14 years now. I mean, when you go back to college and now this, he is what he is at this point. I also am not sold that he's a great locker room guy. I mean, I know he talks to the media on Wednesdays sometimes, and
I
don't know what he is in the locker room. I'll be honest with you. I've lost some respect for him when he's seemingly sulked after bad games and really blown off the media and acted what I would say is immaturely in the face of some adversity at various times.
Yeah, I've kind of shared that.
I think he's a good person, by the way.
I happen to like him a lot, but I kind of agree. I'm not sure he's a great locker room presence. Matter of fact, I don't hear him a lot in the locker room. And I think that part of being a good locker room presence is being like Rodney Harrison was, and like Willie McGinnis was, and like Teddy Bruschi was, and Mike Vrabel. I think those guys took a lot of the burden from other players by being accountable. And I don't think that Matt Light is always around to be accountable.
Well, that's the thing. He used to talk a lot on Wednesdays when they were 14-2, but then when he gets his butt handed to him by Jason Taylor in Miami, he's sneaking out the back door and bringing all the offensive linemen with him. We're not talking this week.
Now, when he does talk, when Matt Light does talk, he almost always is very cordial to the media and very—he's very funny. He's got a great—he's got a great personality.
He's a good person. That doesn't always equate to a good locker room leader.
Yeah, and the other thing about the whole right tackle thing last year, when he got hurt, and toward the end of his time when he was out of the lineup, as he was getting ready to come back, there were some charity things that he was involved in, and he was being asked about potentially playing right tackle, and he bristled at it. He didn't like it. Didn't like the notion that he lost his job by this, you know, from this rookie or whatever. So I think that not only you don't know if he can play right tackle, there is a difference, and he has never really played it, but you're also dealing with how much does that irritate a veteran for me, and then if I do irritate him, how does that affect the locker room if he's really upset about it?
Yeah. Maki in Ireland says, just thought I'd let people that can't listen to the show in the workplace because of firewalls or whatever know that if they go to ninjacloak.com, that's ninjacloak.com, it allows people to access websites from behind a firewall. Not entirely sure if it will allow people to stream the show itself, but it certainly works on my college internet, which has now blocked practically all sites that aren't linked to the college itself. And he just happens to say, wondering, can anyone explain why it is that Matt Light couldn't be put at right tackle? Obviously, considering the importance the left tackle holds over the right tackle position and its reflection in those players' salaries, is there a clear difference? Just wondering what that is exactly in terms of the difficulty in playing the position.
Well, generally, you're a more powerful player on the right side. It's theoretically with a right-handed quarterback seen as your running side, where you're going up against bigger guys rather than the smaller pass rushers. You know, Michael Strahan came off that side. Bigger, powerful guys are over there. Some of it is left and right, you know, the footwork. And like Paul said, I mean, he's been playing at left tackle the whole time here. So now every play he thinks of, his instinct is going to be one thing, and he's going to have to translate it to the right side.
And that's what Belichick has said. And obviously he's probably thinking of Matt Light when he says it. He says some guys have no problem with that transition. Other guys, because of that different perspective, just can't do it.
And if it's not going to be good, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, it's probably his last year here. You know, you're not doing it with a young player who you say, okay, it'll take a year for him to get it, and then we'll get 6 years out of him when he becomes a good right tackle.
Right.
He's coming near the end.
Everything is different. It's the opposite of what you were doing.
But I also just think, I'm not sure he's suited for it. I'm not sure he's a power guy. I'm not sure he's...
Yeah.
I think he's a left tackle or he's an ex-Patriot.
Maybe we should get rid of Brady, get a lefty quarterback, and then the right tackle will be as important as the left tackle.
Well, then Vollmer would play right tackle.
Right.
Oh, and we'd leave Light at left tackle.
Right. Then we're all set.
But then the left would be the right. It would be the power running.
Paul's not listening. He's got his sandwich.
Well, he's happy now.
He's like a baby. He's been whining
yes.
in his high chair.
Yes.
And now you put the food in and he's quiet.
Sydney
right?
Hart just got yeah. what she wanted when she's been going, pointing at something forever. Just a side note. I know you like commercials, Fred.
Yeah.
National Floors Direct.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Oh, sure.
With the girl with the big dimples. Who
yeah.
does all their...
Yeah.
Big fan.
You like her?
That's dimples.
Big dimples. Does it for me.
Her mouth looks like it could open up.
It would
oh
have to.
Oh, my God.
What? What?
She does have a
she
big
has
jaw.
Like, jaws like a pit bull.
Well, I don't, that makes me uncomfortable making a pit bull reference now. But she does something for me. It just...
It moves.
It moves.
Okay. Nano writes
there's a commercial that... There's a random woman on that, and I kind of think I completely forget. What
I have
it is
a few
now.
Of them. Maybe I'll have a wet dream about the National Floors Direct girl tonight.
Just not during the show because I don't want that smell. Brad, you missed that.
Oh, yeah, you Paul missed that discussion that. When you had your little prostate problem.
How's that sandwich taste now, Paul?
Does it smell funky?
That's not mayo. Anyway.
Oh, that's is that mayo?
Not an Italian.
Mayo.
He doesn't even like to, like once he stops playing along, he puts his head down and eats. Doesn't even like pretend to laugh or.
Brad is on the phone. Hey, Brad.
It really hasn't been funny. Guys.
How you doing?
Oh man, you guys having some rough weeks here.
Yeah.
Well, when does season actually start? I asked Doc that.
We've got a ways to go. We at least need like an OTA to give us new football to talk.
Something,
about.
Something. Hey, For the last 2 weeks, ever since the draft, everybody's been on this bandwagon of the outside linebacker. Having watched the game for 4 decades now, I don't see the need for the outside linebacker that everybody is seeing right now, only from the standpoint of which is more important to make Manning move off his spot or to sack him. I mean, I know a sack is great because you get
both.
The negative yardage and the down and all the whole 9 yards. But constant pressure does so much more in a game than just a one guy that's going to get you one sack a game.
Right. Well, there's no saying that, you know, James Harrison gets one sack a game, but he's also getting pressure
right.
7 other times.
Right.
Usually they come together.
Right. Usually yeah. if you can get there for the sack, you can get there for the pressure.
Yeah.
But we were going from, and I liked Vrabel up until the last year and a half that he was here, because I felt like all he did then was occupy a tackle. He didn't really try to get the pressure.
So playing the role of Derek Burgess in that year's performance was Mike Vrabel.
Right. No, and that was exactly my point, was we have to do something other than, say, hike and run at the tackle. there has to be something that says, try to get around the tackle. You know, don't just run into him. The guy is usually 6'5". He's usually 325 pounds, and you're 6'3 and 240. Rarely are you going to bull rush that tackle into the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, for the last 3 seasons, that's what we've gotten out of our left outside linebacker.
Well, I think, Brad, I think you're onto something, but I think that when you look at it, we talk about how all these things have to work together. You have to create pressure. You have to cover long enough. I think we've seen, at least I know that in my mind over the last couple of years, I've said, oh, they almost got there, but they completed the pass, and that's coverage. You know, so I think it all works together, and I think
well,
that, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe this year if they can get just a little bit better in coverage, maybe they'll get those sacks or maybe they'll get those pressures that we weren't seeing the
last
couple
of years.
But
are we almost getting there only because the quarterback had 4.5 seconds and eventually, you know, somebody else besides the left outside linebacker managed to get off their man?
But,
because any game you guys look at, we've gotten bunk from our left outside line.
But the problem is that guy is being asked by Bill Belichick, if there's a draw, if there's play action, you need to control that tackle, because if there's a running back running in that direction, I don't want to see you tucking around the tackle to get your pass rush and then realize it's a run and we're getting gashed for 17 yards off the right tackle
right.
spot.
Right. Right, but how many 3rd and 13s did
no.
we see the guy hike the ball and just run at somebody? You know,
I understand that in clear passing downs, there's a difference, but I don't think those happen quite as often as you think they do.
I must have missed Mike Vrabel's career as a Patriot because I don't remember him just running into what's happening.
The last year and a half he did.
I'll stand corrected if that's what everybody else thinks. But
I wouldn't
think,
go with a year and a half.
I think he provided pressure basically as a Patriot throughout his time. Now, did he get 12 and a half sacks every year? No, that was a one-time thing when they had a dominant offense that set the defense up in great situations in 07. I don't think he's a 12 and a half sack guy, but he... I think more than occasionally provided pressure off the edge that forced the quarterback to do something different. Step up, move around, throw the ball earlier than he wanted to. I think Mike Vrabel consistently provided that kind of
through
pressure.
Through 07. I think 08, he had so a down
the 08 defense was the worst defense the Patriots have had in my time here.
Now,
so I think that's
and I think he was a part of it. I think he lost
absolutely.
Something. But I don't – saying a year and a half, you're including 08 and portion of 07 when he was an all-pro linebacker.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest – I like to throw
this
out there.
I don't care what his sacks were.
Even the 12 and a half sacks, he didn't have a single sack against, I believe, Willie Colon, the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he owned him to the point where the Steelers claimed Vrabel knew the snap count and was cheating.
Killing them that day. No
and
sacks.
He didn't have a single sack. So he was productive certainly through 07, and at some point in 08, I do think he started to decline.
Well, I think the problem wasn't his – it was the coverage. We saw him getting beaten covered
a
lot.
Well,
ooh,
he started trailing.
Vrabel.
Yeah. Everybody trails.
He was really trailing.
Everybody trails.
Yeah, I know.
Linebacker
doesn't trail.
But linebackers aren't
he was better before that.
Yes, he was on the downside of his career. He was not as physically gifted. He was losing a little something.
All right, let me ask you guys this. How much of that also had to do with the fact that Ellis Hobbs, and I being in Maryland, wasn't at any games, obviously, but you don't know how many times I'm screaming, my wife would attest to this, how many times I'm screaming at the stinking TV saying, there isn't a defensive player in the picture. You know, how can somebody be that far off of somebody every single play?
No, it's a good point.
It was one of the great questions of the Ellis Hobb era.
Right. I mean, I remember.
And yet people still thought he was good.
Right.
I mean, I never got it. I couldn't figure it out.
I just remember.
I agree with you.
During the Giants game, the record-setting game, last game of the regular season in 07, I remember Belichick yelling at Hobbs on the sideline, rely on your quickness. Don't worry about everything. Just rely on your quickness. Hobbs never did.
And you know
he
what
always
happened?
Gave himself too
and
much
even in
cushion.
That game, he was 10 yards off his guy, but got rewarded because Eli Manning overthrew his his target by 10 yards, and it hit Hobbs in the chest. Maybe that gave him a false hit. See, I guess I'm in the right spot. I made a big play. Because that was the game-winning play. Because that put the Patriots up two scores, and that way the Giants' comeback, you know, they were too far behind.
Right. And I think this year, I think what I saw from Butler last year, he got beat a couple times. He gave up a touchdown in the corner, but he was in the picture. He was near the guy. He was fighting for the ball. I think if we have one thing that we need to rely on this year is just get pressure and say, guys, if you give up one pass, you give up one pass. Don't start playing 10 yards off the ball so that you don't get burned again. You know, at some point, Merriweather's got to play that deep safety better. He's going to start intercepting balls, or he's going to be off the team, one way or the other. But if we can get Bodden, not to be a Darrell Revis, but at least so that the quarterback can't just 1-2-3 turn and throw. You know, make him think an extra second, be in the picture. The defensive line and the linebackers will get there.
Yeah, you're more confident in that than I am.
Yeah, I don't.
I agree with your take on the secondary. I think there's some talent there, and I think those guys have to be better, and that's part of the pass defense. But
Butler's the guy that I think will be better. I think he's a good young player. Andy can make fun of me, but I think the year two jump I think is going to be significant with him. I really like his athleticism, Butler. He's the guy.
He fought for the ball. I mean, he fought for position.
From day one.
Right, exactly.
Buffalo Bills made a great break on the ball.
Now, here's the thing. I need to start seeing plays now. Otherwise,
you become Leonard Myers.
Yeah, you become a long list of guys like Leonard Myers. Leonard Myers, in practice, was there every time to make a play. Sometimes he made the play in practice, sometimes he didn't. He was always competitive. In the games, he never made the play.
Right.
When he got a chance to play, he never actually made the play. And there's a fine line there between being competitive and still getting beaten.
All right, one quick last question for you. I totally agreed with Sam in Houston versus Sam Houston.
Right.
That
Remember the Alamo.
He was not at the Alamo, thankfully. That's why we all know him. Anyway, I think Jarvis Green was not what Bill was hoping Jarvis Green would be. And I think teams dominated that side of the line of scrimmage, which drew more and more of the play of the linebackers to the right, which took away anything we had on the left side, which wasn't a whole lot to begin with. I do think Gerard Warren, though he will never be a Seymour, all we need him to be is exactly like Ty Warren. If we can have the Warren and Warren group stuffing the line, holding guys up, which is what Ty Warren has done for, what, 5 years now, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
We will clean up that run game to the point where maybe we can turn Mayo loose on the one thing that I think he is outstanding at, and that is a middle linebacker blitz. He seems to have that knack. He seems to be able to slice in very well. And if we can control the line more with Spikes, who's a big thumper, like Ted Johnson Jr., I think we can see more of that this year.
Yeah, too bad we don't have Dean Pease anymore. We can have Warren Pease.
Good one, Doc.
Yeah, I think Warren's going to be an upgrade over Jarvis Green. I assume you mean Jarvis Green wasn't what Bill thought he was last year specifically. I mean,
no,
he had a long time to decide what he was.
Last year was his full-time starter.
I
don't think Bill ever thought he was a full-time player. Yeah. I think
Ron Brace screwed Bill.
Right.
I think there's probably I think there was probably something else involved. I don't think Bill's sole plan to replace Seymour was just pop Jarvis Green out there.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It was a little disappointing. And I think Warren will be good enough so you won't be saying we got to move Wilfork to end because nobody can stop the run. I think Warren will be better than that.
I agree. Warren will be an upgrade.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy football, for crying out loud.
We love football.
make four other shows. You can have Paul with a cooking show. You know, you can have...
what do I get?
The extent of my cooking show would be ordering takeout.
Mine would probably have to be after hours.
The only thing
like
Paul's going to make is reservations.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't make the phone call. Someone else has to do it.
We got the politics show coming up. We got the religious show coming up. Now we've got the eating show coming up. We've got the...
we have to have a men's health
show. I was going to say, the men's health has got to be prime time now.
You should.
I think you can
go live from the gym.
I think you can go, you know, 12 to 2, you guys, and then start 2 to 3 men's health, 3 to 4 religion, 4 to 5, you know, and then just repeat it. You guys
are
doing great.
I agree. We'll look into it.
And just make Doc do all the booth work for the whole thing.
He doesn't actually do anything for this show. Never mind all those other shows. All right,
hey,
Brett.
Doc, I tried.
Well, thanks.
All right, thanks, Brett. You know how they have like in a lot of those medical classes and you know school, they have like live people who do the demonstrations. We could have Eric like be the live dummy for all the men's health stuff. You know,
he'd really enjoy the prostate exam.
I knew you were going to go there.
I know.
It's like clockwork.
And if you're going to serve him up to me, I'm going to spike him home.
TG and NJ has a message to new listeners. He says, there seems to be a fair amount of new listeners tuning into the show lately this off season. I just want to let the newbies know that these guys actually do talk Patriots football eventually once training camp gets going. So hang in there. It's not all Naked Fred, Star Wars versus Christianity, Gay Andy's wet dreams, Paulie's Flomax issues, and anything embarrassing to do with Squidward talk.
Never had a gay wet dream. Never.
These guys who talk a lot of Patriots football, and they are very good at it. The best place to go, actually, is it's just the off season, so stay tuned and enjoy the show. The football talk is coming.
And I don't even think you have to wait till June or July. I really think once we get into OTAs, that will allow us to kind of flavor these up with a little more football.
Okay.
Really? We're going to talk about Buddy Farnham and how he looked on the frickin'
David in England says, first off, doctor is lucky I live so far away or I'd be coming down there.
Wow. Get over here. Let's go. I'll buy the ticket.
I'll pay.
You're going to kick his ass. I'll buy the ticket.
He starts off the show really quiet, so I had my iPhone to my ear to hear. Then he suddenly puts it to maximum volume, and it nearly blew my head off. I can still hear Andy's voice echoing in my head.
Oh, I'm sorry for that.
And then he says we shouldn't apologize to the guy about the Star Wars comparisons, that it's just ridiculous.
Plus, I bet you if you wrote that as like a thesis, you'd get all kind of praise for it.
By the way,
it's been done. You stole it?
It's been done.
No, I figured.
It's been done. Somebody wrote about the...
What has he not stolen?
Actually,
where'd you get the idea for this paper?
An original thought?
the Columbia professor who died a couple years ago, Joseph Campbell, in The Power of Myth, the book, used a lot of Star Wars, you know, good versus evil comparisons.
So, hey, boss, you're a loser.
Anyway, but he
plagiarizing.
He says
loser.
He's going to make up for the lost subscription by subscribing himself.
Well, okay.
So that's great. Thank you.
Go so instead of being plus one right now, we're just breaking
we're
even.
Breaking even.
Thanks,
we're
Fred.
Kind of plus a half because I assume he's going
to
go
international. That's very nice of you. What's the emailer?
Dave from England.
Dave, thank you. That's very nice of you.
And it's from England, so it counts more.
Well, I think it would count less because he's going to go in the international online
I don't care.
Only.
It's a person's a person.
If he's smart, he'll go international online.
Go the
only,
international
Dave.
Route.
Now, don't try to get the paper in person. It'll be 2 months late. You'll just be finding out that they got beat off the field by the Ravens.
Anything but.
He really is. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Actually, you may just be finding to the point where they trade Seymour, and I predict that they'll get blown off the playoff field because they get run all over by it's the Steelers, insert Ravens for reality, but whatever.
Now for an actual question.
Of course, Andy was the only one that said that.
Would you trade?
He also added in that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be running it down their throats.
Would you trade Brady in a second for Manning? I would. I love Brady, but Manning is the best I've ever seen, and he spends less time on commercials than Brady now spends in Europe and Costa Rica.
No.
I would.
I wouldn't, because I think you would have some issues with Belichick.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No, but that's a different argument.
I'm our just, guy.
He's never had to learn a new system. All of a sudden, Bill's going to make him do what Bill wants to do.
Our guy is our
okay,
guy.
Then, yeah,
their guy
want,
is
yeah,
their guy.
I agree with you. That's a good point.
Thank you.
But that's not, I don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about.
Oh, just in hypotheticals?
Yeah.
I'm not big on hypotheticals.
Oh, I am. I like playing games.
If Bill's, I really think Bill is, I don't want to say stuck in his ways because that makes it sound like his ways are
like
obsolete.
It's a bad thing, but he
but,
is.
I don't think Peyton Manning would come from the Colts and say, see, this is what we did with my guy Moore back at the Colts. We did this, 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 and this. And Bill would
say, yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass. You're doing this.
He'd say, yeah, if it snows out, that's obsolete.
Right.
Do it this way.
Yeah, and how many times I beat your ass running that.
Right.
So I think there would be a little bit of butting heads there.
I doubt it.
Fred, what happened to the Bruins?
I doubt it.
You predicted to me that there was no
I
way
said
they'd
there
lose.
There was no way in hell that they were going to lose that game.
That's when I thought
and
of you
they,
this weekend.
And when
they
went
up 3-0
in Game 7 at home, I said, well, okay.
I did.
This
clicked
is what
on.
I thought was going to happen.
All Fred
like,
can do is tell you.
Fred was right again.
All Fred can do is tell you conventional wisdom. Listen, I told you this was going to happen. He can't control the, you know, a colossal choke like that.
That was unbelievable.
So you want to give me one for the Celtics tonight and in the series?
I tell you, there's nothing, you know, it was just one game, but there's nothing about the Magic that a good defense, I think, can't stop. Because that Howard cannot hit a free throw.
That Howard.
He fouls too much. You can get him into early foul trouble.
I agree.
And
look
I think,
at Fred breaking down the NBA.
I think when you're in the playoffs, it's a different brand of basketball than the regular season, and the Magic are vulnerable.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, they wouldn't sit there and have two or three guys play Howard in the post and follow him whenever they get in trouble the way they will in a playoff series.
Right.
You wouldn't do that in the regular season. You just wouldn't extend, you know, put that kind of energy and
right.
commitment
and
running.
And that Rasheed Wallace is going to get under his skin every
Why
game.
Why does everybody have a that before this?
Because he's the
There's
grandpa.
My girl again. That girl with big dimples.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah,
oh,
I
yeah,
like
that's,
her.
Yeah, she's her that mouth.
Look at that look.
That
she's
mouth
just like,
extends.
Yeah, I want it.
Yeah.
Is this all you see of her?
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. It's
look
neck
at
up.
That jaw.
I'm not sharing your enthusiasm then.
Come on. She's better than Judy Batista.
She could break walnuts with her teeth. I'm telling you. She, you know.
I don't want her breaking anything with her teeth. I want her teeth out of this equation.
She's got a huge jaw, though. I mean, it's.
I agree with your statement, but I didn't think that was appropriate.
Have we not discussed that on the air before?
It's your fascination, not mine.
Let's leave that one alone.
Celtics.
I would agree.
Celtics.
I think the Celtics may have some trouble tonight. However, I don't think they will have trouble in this series. I think they win it in five. Andy thinks
Celtics in six.
Andy thinks
no, I changed it.
Oh. Is this like the Brian Cushing thing?
Celtics in six.
Wrapping the wire around your head.
Oh. Why are you discouraging him from doing so?
Don't tempt our listeners. Don't tease him.
A little lower.
Why are you discouraging him from that?
Nano writes in.
Probably just offended someone else.
Yeah. Glad to hear from you guys that McKenzie's ready to go, and also this morning Spikes was quoted as saying he asked for the playbook ASAP after he was drafted. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like Crable is as eager. Over the weekend, he was quoted as saying, I know what's going on. I know the playbook better. I don't feel like I'm walking into the unknown. Great, Sean. I'm glad after two full years of studying the Patriots system, you know the playbook better and that everything isn't unknown. How about you know the playbook front and back after doing nothing but studying it for 2 years? Wow.
What?
Vince Red?
Was it the guy I was in love with?
Yeah.
And I jumped ship when I said, do you feel like you know the whole playbook? And he said, to be honest, not really.
Nah.
And then he also said, to be honest, I'm not really a weight room guy. And I jumped ship, and Bill jumped ship like a month later.
Well, you know, we found out why he wasn't really a weight room guy when he went to Kansas City and then ended up getting suspended for the first four games. He didn't need to be a weight room guy. Obviously, he had other reasons that he was
stacked. I'm not big on Sean Crable. In a lot of ways. The injury, that kind of stuff.
You know, I chuckled.
He's healthy, but he's not healthy. He's finding new ways to not put pressure on his back and this and that.
That gave us...
You know what? You can't play outside linebacker and not put pressure on your spine and your body.
That's the key to me and why I am sort of cut and tied. And I was the one guy who was really encouraged. But a back injury, Andy's right.
What about the tight end?
How can you...
And your left tackle.
It's really hard to get by, but this is a back injury that's caused him to necessarily be on IR for 2 years.
I'm taking your role, devil's advocate.
If Gronkowski winds up on IR this year with a back injury, I will probably cut some ties with him as well.
I will be wrapping the cord if that happens.
But I do think that these leg problems that he's had have been much like Willie McGinnis, you know, late in his career when it was the leg, the back of the leg, that whole thing.
From the tub.
Except he did every year.
I think that there is an element of a concern there that isn't going to go away with Crable. But we were looking for some Patriot things to talk about. Kevin Falk had his tournament over the weekend, his charity softball tournament. And again, all of the local writers fell for the off-season storylines that tend to get brought up every year. And we at PFW fall for them almost every time. But I think we've agreed we're going to cut ties with this one. Crable, that was the flavor of the month over the weekend again. Sean Crable redistributed. Did you see the picture of him?
No.
He's always been stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Upper body, he is stacked.
Right. He's built
his legs look just as thin as they always did. I read stories about he looks like he redistributed and this and that and the other thing. I'm not buying any of that stuff. I'm not buying the Vince Wilfork nutrition stories anymore. I'm trying to stay away from those ready-made stories that we fall for every year that just don't seem to be accurate. And I think that's one of them. And I think Andy's right about the back with Sean Crable. I think that's a major, major concern with him.
Tom writes about Burgess. He says he had 18 tackles and 3 sacks in the last 4 games, playing more two-point stances. Burgess should be good this year, says Tom.
Sure. So, okay, let's just say for argument's sake that it was because of the two-point stance. What if he's not playing in a two-point stance this year? What happens then?
Well, I don't know, but he's saying that's something.
Because I don't think he will be. I think they have Warren, and Wilfork to play up front, and I think they'll probably play more 3-4s.
That's what he's talking about.
That's what he said. He said he wasn't used to the two-point stance. Once he got used to it, he started to produce.
Okay. Well, I would look at it the opposite. I think he played more down as the season went. Maybe I'm wrong.
He did both.
Am I missing that?
No,
I don't recall specifically where he was.
On passing downs, he was in a three-point stance.
I mean,
that's what I thought.
Yeah. No, he was.
Certainly in Buffalo, he was in a two-point stance because that was the game. Everybody was in a two-point stance. I don't know
maybe
the
I'm
exact
wrong.
Breakdown of the December.
The
facts are accurate
I think he had a production in
December.
My apologies. Yeah. What was the emailer?
Tom.
Tom, my bad.
I don't know whether that production in December was, I mean, it could be anything.
Right. You don't know.
Circumstantial, you know, you played the Bills, you were going to have production. They tried to run the ball.
Yeah, I don't think the guy was very good, but I'm wrong about the stance. I misremembered, as Roger Clemens once said.
Paul says he wants to talk about the media. He says, as part of the media, you should realize by now, the media is not interested in revealing the truth. They want to get their version of the truth out. Last year, the media covering the Patriots wanted the Randy Moss is dogging it story out there. If I were a player and there was any controversy about me floating around out there, I would not be looking at the media as my friend. This dynamic might even cause me to deepen the controversy by trying to be too careful in any contact with the media. In most cases, the media is more practiced at getting what they want when interviewing most players. They are not good at revealing the truth. I don't know what brought that on from Paul, but it's an email he sent today.
That was very Paul-like, and it was an argument. But I'm not sure the guy's arguing.
Who's
he arguing with?
He's having an argument with himself.
No, I think
you Pauls are all alike.
I agree with him. I don't think there's any doubt that the media has an agenda. They have this story, and they just want to get quotes to back it up. And when they don't get it,
what do you mean they have their story?
They
make up a story and then they got to get quotes.
They have an angle that they're trying to get.
Oh, that's different than making up a story. He's claiming that the example that he used is ridiculous because he's saying that the media wanted to get the story out there that Randy Moss was dogging it, or Chris Gamble and the other guys from the Carolina secondary, Richard Marshall, I think, might have been one of them. Sure. Who was the safety? I forget the safety's name. Yeah. He's the one that was really outspoken.
The one that
about
Bill
it.
Ripped?
They're the ones that they were unsolicited. They weren't even questions being asked. Necessarily about Moss's effort. They were asked how they took him out of the game because he didn't do anything that day, and they all said he wasn't trying. How was that the media's fault? And I'm all for bashing the media, as you know, Fred, because that's one of the things I do best.
Right. Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, lets us know that the Tyrone McKenzie interview is now available on Patriots.com, the video of that. So, Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Patriots right now?
You can get that right on Patriots.com.
Sooner or later.
Chris from West Yorkshire, United Kingdom, says, since I don't live in the U.S., I haven't seen the Floors Direct girl, so I Googled her and came up with this. Andy, you can thank me later. I guess her name is Adrienne LaValle. And he has a
I'd
photo,
like to get in her La Valley.
A special photo of her that you can get when you get back
here. Wait a
minute,
the Floors Direct girl has like a dirty photo on the
I
internet?
I guess so.
That
guess.
Just proves, you, I mean, it's out there.
Well, you saw the Miss USA, right?
It's on some shag rug.
Where's Doc? What's
Shagalicious.
Is he printing my photo for me or something? Okay. Because Fred's making rug jokes.
Well, isn't that like what Austin Powers says? Hey, baby, I'd love to shag you.
Not exactly like that.
Yeah, you don't, that's, you're usually much better than that.
I have to think of it. I haven't heard
that
of
that. Wasn't a good one.
Yeah,
it's kind of a combination of W.C. Fields, Rodney yes. Dangerfield, and Austin Powers.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't all Austin Powers.
Anyway.
You get caught in between there?
Mark from Nova Scotia.
He's lost it. He's just flat out lost it all.
He did see the Miss USA stuff, right?
Yeah, she's a pole dancer or something. Yeah.
She won a stripping contest. God bless her.
Nice. Why not?
To me, that's what they should be doing because right. they've become irrelevant.
Mark in Nova Scotia, I was wondering if you could tell me about the Chad Jackson story where he made a fool of himself during a team dinner during his rookie season. I know that you guys in the past alluded to the story, but I'm not sure if you ever told the full story. Since he's long gone from the team, could you give us the details to what happened?
No, I wasn't there.
It's nothing that we ever held back on. I mean, it was.
Well, I do because I wasn't there. I didn't witness
it. Well, the
it.
Media was there. It was an open event. It wasn't like it was a private dinner. It was the gala dinner that they do for charity every year. The public buys tables and they contribute. And he came in and, he was just really being loud and kind of crazy in front of the public.
Vulgar.
Yeah.
Obnoxious.
And we said,
but I wasn't there. That's what I heard.
We said at the time, that's just showing a lack of judgment and immaturity. People on the internet, got on us for, making a bigger thing out of it than it really was. But I think it did, show.
I don't think we made anywhere near as big a deal as it really was.
Yeah.
Because I think that was really the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah.
That really did not rub a lot of people in this organization the right way.
Right.
Especially people you want to rub the right way.
Right.
No, I mean, he had the same problem.
Where's my picture?
That a lot of these guys have, like Bethel Johnson. They just don't get it. It's all upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And they.
But let's not single those two out because they're receivers. You're literally talking about a third of the draft picks, maybe. Just don't get it.
Dexter Reed
right.
was one of those guys that a lot of people said just doesn't get it, doesn't understand how. But he stuck around for a couple years.
If you say they pick eight guys a year, I would say three of the rookies don't get it.
Yeah.
And they won't, and they'll be out of the league in a year or two,
and
it won't be physical.
And we heard some stories about guys, not current draft picks, but draft picks in the recent past that are in a similar situation. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, and we won't throw it out there because I don't want people to say that we're being overly hard on guys and making a bigger deal out of it. But this one guy in particular that we heard some really bad things about this offseason, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect him moving forward.
Right.
Ooh. I'm not going to say it. I just said
I wasn't really.
Yeah, you're too busy with your National Floors Direct girl.
Yeah, Adrienne LaValle is La Hot.
Brad.
Some of those pictures aren't that good.
Well,
Brad,
some of them.
Down.
Is she in like a movie?
I'm guessing.
With like blood all over her face?
Or? Oh.
Brad wants to make a new T-shirt for the defensive linemen because all their last names are W. Wilfork, Warren, and
www.defense
right.
or something.
www.runstuffers.com.
Is it taken?
I like it.
Oh, she's got guns.
So,
I like her. She's definitely hotter. She doesn't. Not the total package. She's
no.
I like her face.
She doesn't have big boobs.
Nah, not really. That's what I was going with on the total package.
Yeah, I don't think she's that good.
You're out of your mind.
You know who she reminds me of, though? She looks very much like the female co-star in Good Will Hunting. That was his
Minnie
girlfriend.
Driver?
Yeah,
oh,
Minnie
I think
Driver.
She's way hotter than
See,
Minnie
See, I don't
Driver.
Like Minnie Driver at all.
I don't either. You're just comparing the jawlines.
You gotta admit,
they both had big
a lot jaw. Like her.
No, they both had big jaws. Just the big
no.
jaw. It's the
I
big jaw.
I like this picture of her better than the TV.
Me too. I like her. I like the dimples. I'm a dimple
Although
guy.
The first picture is the best picture I've seen so far. Yeah.
Okay. Sam in Chicago.
Hey, Sam.
I was watching over the weekend NFL Network's summary of Super Bowl 39. I had forgotten what a dominant presence the defense was and how vocal they were on the sidelines. The 2007 glazed my memory of the past Patriots' success being attributed to a high-powered offense, but the D is where it's at. Looking forward to 2010 and high hopes for Spikes, a healthy Mayo, and Cunningham. I can only imagine Burgess is insurance in the event none of the rookies blossom early or know where to line up. And Paul, nice solo podcast.
Doesn't Sam still owe us a photo?
Yeah.
She does. He does.
In her... What?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty bad that we're getting photos of the National Floor Direct girl before we're getting
but nothing
photos
from
Sam
in Chicago.
I think it would be a good welcome back present for Eric.
For Eric, yeah.
Bikini shot, right?
That's what, you know, that's what Sam promised.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Yes.
This is going to sound probably like a dumb super fan question.
Congratulations, Fred, for not saying when you were 16 or 14 or whatever you usually answer on that question.
Why is Romeo Crennel not the defensive coordinator?
It's a good question. I mean, I really thought they'd make a run at him when he was available.
What?
That was just like turning back the clock to success, and I'm thinking, you don't have anybody who's a defensive coordinator, first of all. You need help on defense. Young players, message, whatever you... It just would seem like such a logical... He was available. You had the need. Why is he not here?
I don't know.
He signed
more money
team.
In Kansas City. He didn't want to come back. I'm not saying we necessarily have to have the answer,
but
why have I not heard the answer anyway?
Could it be
honestly. When you start stories like this, it usually is Ty Law gave up 24, so he's coming back.
Could it be that Bill Belichick
is... Brings us full circle to Dexter Reed.
Right. Could it be that Bill Belichick is actually, in this transition period, looking forward to spending more time with the defense?
I don't care what he's looking forward to. He was good when Romeo was on the defense.
And really wants to do that. And, you know, wants to be the de facto defensive
I don't care what he wants to be. Don't tell me the team wouldn't be better with Romeo and Bill.
I don't know.
I do.
You know?
Romeo was here. They won 3 Super Bowls. Without Romeo, Bills won none.
A lot of teams have also won Super Bowls.
I love pulling out that argument.
Too.
With Patrick Pass, they won 3 Super Bowls. Without him, they won none.
The factual arguments like that, you can't beat them.
Right.
But in all seriousness, Bill has always said he wants to be surrounded by smart, hard workers, whatever. Romeo filled that bill, sorry.
I'm just thinking that maybe he thinks we're going to be good on defense with me as the coordinator. I'm looking forward to this.
Better than we would have been with Romeo.
I know these guys. I brought them in. I want to see what I can do with them. Rather than bring somebody
in. There's a lot of eyes in that sentence.
Rather than
I think it had a lot more to do with Romeo than anything the Patriots. I think the Patriots would have been all over it.
Paul, I'm really hoping, because if that's the theory... The ship is sinking.
I don't know why. I don't have the answer. I think if Romeo wanted to be the defensive coordinator of the Patriots, he would be.
I'd like to hear one person who has something bad to say about Romeo.
Sean,
anywhere, anything
Fred
bad about Romeo.
He's not the defensive coordinator of the Patriots anymore.
There's
so
probably
Fred
somebody in Cleveland that could say
No,
that.
I don't think there is. I think even they liked him. Even though he lost, they liked him.
Sean says we should probably just shut this thing down until preseason.
Well, screw you, Sean.
I actually want to do an extra show. I love the show.
Yeah. Next hour, it's religion.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of
Don't
BFW
ever take
in
shots
progress.
At the ones that blow people up.
Stay tuned for Religion of the 21st Century coming up right after this.
Brian Lowe?
No, we're going to have Nick Cooper do it. All right.
Who?
One of the guys upstairs. All right, well, that's going to be it. We will see you on Thursday with more Patriots and everything else chatter.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.